98.7 WJFK. Broadcasting live from the Don and Mike Building. 3 FM. 98.7 WJFK. Manassas, Washington, D.C. This is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And here we have a serious problem. America is addicted to marijuana, which is often imported from me and President Clinton. Joe.
Now, look here, George. I don't know what you take us for, but we're not fools, no?
Now, listen to this. We'll help all Americans on Medicare receive the marijuana they deserve.
What are you talking about, man? I don't do drugs.
America is addicted to marijuana. Joe.
George, have you thought of the commercial possibility?
It's through technology.
George, the country needs inventors like you.
Medicare would pay more than $100,000 to me and President Clinton.
Drugs are bad because if you do drugs, you're a hippie. And hippies suck.
Learn from our experience. America is addicted to marijuana.
Then we'll just do drug identification exercise. Okay?
Marijuana. Joe.
George, there's a war on, you know it.
Marijuana.
Wow.
That's our first offering from the State of the Union.
That's just fabulous. Wow, that really captured the whole speech, didn't it?
Here's our second offering from last night's State of the Union. You're going to be laughing. So this is just a premature opening of the laughing
This
place.
Isn't from the State of the Union.
No. This is just an indication. This is just a feeble attempt by me to hit the wrong button.
Ah,
so there you go. Now, also from the State of the Union.
Yes.
He had a big focus last night.
Duty. Let me talk about duty.
Why?
Because it needs to get done. This administration has failed to do it. And now we have an urgent duty. We should do it now. Do it. Do it well. If it feels good, do it. Duty.
Everybody. Duty. Do our duty. Duty. Everybody. Duty. Do our duty. Duty. Everybody. Duty. Do our duty. Duty. Everybody. Duty. Do our duty.
He's real good.
He's talented, Jack.
Very, very good.
Was there editing involved?
No.
Now, you tell me which one of those songs is like the Battle of the Bands here.
It's incredible.
You know, only one of these hits will make it onto the Don and Mike Solid Gold Survey this week.
Oh.
And kids, your phone calls and the most votes from the high schools out there will decide which one will be number one tonight on the top nine at nine.
We certainly can't decide.
No.
They're both good.
Mm-hmm.
I find them equally intriguing. I'm kind of partial to the marijuana song.
Yeah, that's nicely done.
You like that one?
Mm-hmm. It's a nice song.
You know, today
I like especially when it slows down with you.
I hope you will.
Big production.
I hope for those of you who still, follow that, you said rabbit today.
Yes.
Because it's the 1st of February.
Right.
Which means that we will be calling Pennsylvania.
Ah.
Because it's not Groundhog Day! It's not. A lot of people think it is.
No, that's tomorrow, actually.
Because it's the fight. So at some point,
6 more weeks of winter of this brutal winter we're having.
I don't know if we'll make it.
At some point, we'll be like the DJs when Bill Murray wakes up. You know, this is the song all the time.
I got you, babe.
And it's Groundhog Day. So
yes.
We'll
Groundhog Day.
But it's not until tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Get jokes, everybody.
Howdy, neighbor. Think the groundhog will see his shadow? The big fat guy in the boarding house with Bill Murray.
And Mike, the results are in.
Yes?
I'm telling you, the teens are digging the show.
Of
They're
course.
Popping their pimples.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing their X. They're doing their crystal meth.
Mm-hmm.
They're iPodding. They're emailing. They're text messaging. And they have voted. Rob, a timpani, please.
You bet.
On the top nine at nine, tonight right here, on your all-hit FM, you have voted this, your favorite George Bush song we've played thus far today.
And here we have a serious problem. America is addicted to marijuana.
often imported from
me and President Clinton.
Now, look here, George. I don't know what you take us for, but we're not fools, you know?
Now, listen to this.
We will help all Americans on Medicare receive the
marijuana
they deserve.
What are you talking about, man? I don't do drugs.
America is addicted to marijuana.
Yes, George. Have you thought of the commercial possibility?
It's through technology.
George, the country needs inventors like you.
Medicare would pay more than $100,000 to me and President Clinton.
Drugs are bad because if you do drugs, you're a hippie. And hippies suck.
Learn from our experience.
America is addicted to marijuana.
Then we'll just do drug identification exercise. Good?
Marijuana.
George, there's a war on, you know.
Marijuana.
There you go.
Wow.
That's,
that's it.
Man.
I see, never,
I see trails. I feel like I've been transported back to the 60s.
The Don and Mike Solid Gold FM survey sponsored by Clearasil.
The kids love it.
Hindsight alone is not wisdom. And second guessing is not a strategy.
All right. Thank you.
Words to live by.
That's my man. I got willpower. First name Will, last name Power.
That's you.
Didn't watch American Idol last night.
Good. Oh, I got some thoughts on that.
Did turn on the State of the Union just to see it in high def.
Yes.
Saw it in high definition.
What do you think?
Turned on a rerun of Law and Order.
There you go. How long did you stick with the State of the Union?
Once he got the first standing ovation,
mm-hmm.
I was able to turn over to Law and Order on TNT before the crime was even committed.
Excellent. That's good. That's good TV viewing. That's good viewing.
Good timing.
Yeah. I just got to, I got to look at everything to see how beautiful it would look in high definition.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized it was just going to be 60 minutes of crap, and we have the tapes today, so why should I even watch?
Well, I never watched the president during the State of the Union. I watched Cheney's mouth. I watched Cheney's evil empire mouth there. He's got that little thin line mouth that's kind of in a constant smirk. And even when he stands up and he applauds, he doesn't betray any emotion. He just kind of sits there and goes, murr.
Oh, and with the State of the Union here, hold on. And this is, and none of this counts on our permanent record.
As always.
Even the premature laughing place, because the show is not officially started
yet. That's okay.
But along the lines of the State of the Union, I think you might be interested in knowing about just some brief email contact between myself and Bethann McBride.
Oh, wonderful.
Really? All right. Huh. So she sends the following last night at 9:17. So this is right as Bush is doing his speech.
She should have been watching.
She writes, "Don, this is my first State of the Union address since I left the show. And the only thing that keeps going through my head is George Bush doesn't care about black people. Ah, good times. B.A.
It's nice. Very nice of her to do that.
I didn't receive it until this morning, but I wrote her back.
Right.
B.A., I hope you're doing well and adjusting to your new gig. Paul Gorgie was fired."
Oh, God.
And then I put 5 exclamation points.
That's funny.
And that is always my traditional sign-off. Yours in Christ.
Uh-huh. Donnie?
D. D, period.
That's right.
And then she writes back,
yes,
just moments before the show.
Uh-huh.
Gorgie will rise again.
Wow, well, she loves that man.
She would know.
That's what Bethann says.
Gorgie handling it very well. Not anything on his plate right now. Planning on just having a little downtime, a little R&R.
Wants to spend more time with his family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, don't we all. And Mike, I know that yesterday you and I had a discussion, not a serious discussion, but we got into the whole global warming thing.
Yes, indeed. I was alerted by a person last night that you trumped me with the Prius. You got me there.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's a man. This will be our preamble to the laughing place. Now, a man who I believe supports your position.
Very good.
Oh, that's good.
A hero of yours.
Folks, America is sitting on an energy crisis. Now that you've heard everybody's solution, here's mine. Stand up. That's it. Now, put your left foot forward. Now your right foot. Now your left again. Your right, your left. You're getting it. You're walking.
That's the way to take care of it.
Problem solved.
You know,
that's how John Wayne says you solve the energy crisis.
You know, you can't argue with the Duke. No,
a dumbass amateur.
There he is.
Try as you might.
Walk. You got a simple idea, but
as my Mexican friend said,
what's walk. The Spanish for walk? Walko.
I'm going to remind you of it every single minute of every day and night.
You know, it makes such beautiful sense. Let's listen again. Why should you get a Prius, Mike? Just walk.
Walk.
Mm-hmm. Folks, America is sitting on an energy crisis.
Yes, Duke.
Now that you've heard everybody's solution, here's mine.
What?
Stand up. That's it. Now, put your left foot forward. Now your right foot. Now your left again. Your right. Your left.
A little edit there.
You're getting it. You're walking.
Several.
You know. Hurry it up. We're burning daylight.
Thank you.
I know we are.
You think he was out of breath when he said the right?
I think so.
Now you're right, then left.
Can't be that hungry. They're showing off.
And Mike, our team sensation line is ringing off the hook.
Who's the best?
Well, you are. You are, of course, Duke.
Big mouth don't make a big man.
Freaking tell me about it.
I apologize for my language.
All right. Thank you, Duke. Listen, the kids have been calling.
Sure.
And they love the other one as well.
Really?
They love the duty as well.
How's the taste?
It tastes pretty good.
Double hit. So, here you go. Two for the price of one. On the station, the teenagers say, rules the pools and reaches the beaches. Don and Mike. Yeah, duty, baby.
I like duty. Let me talk about duty.
Why?
Because it needs to get done. This administration has failed to do it. And now we have an urgent duty. We should do it now. Do it. Do it well. If it feels good, do it. Everybody, duty, do our duty.
I love that.
That one grows on me.
It dances better.
The teens like it.
You are a prying, pipsqueaking ass.
Thank you, Duke. And now we'll really start the laughing place.
Everybody's got a laughing place.
Where did you find these Packer Woods?
Here's your part.
I think about that laughing place. Hey, yuck.
Thanks. The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
We're between 2 and 6. We're noon at 4. Check here. Check your local listings.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello. That's right, baby.
Oh, hi there.
The teenagers are calling for the song by the Raspberries.
You can have them at your school.
Go all the way.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
That's right, baby. Go all the way. Remember, exit, not an entrance. Well, hello. It's Eric Carmen right there. And the Raspberries.
Hello.
I bought this album when I was a kid, and it had a scratch and sniff sticker on the front that smelled like raspberry.
Well, that's nice. And do you remember the competition that the high schools could have to have a raspberries concert at your high school?
Do I? I mean, really, yeah. It was like the battle of the bands.
I think it was a gum promotion.
The high school that would save the most gum wrappers.
That's
right?
Exactly what it was.
Your
jaws tired.
Get the raspberries. You know, I bet your fag high school would have been good at that. What with your theater arts and everything.
No, we didn't chew gum.
No? No gum chewing.
No. Someone in the third row has gum. Swallow it.
You know that, Barry Boy? Gosh, I'll write that down. Just remind me during the show. I don't know if I've ever told in depth. I was talking to a family member the other night, last night as a matter of fact, about how I got my high school diploma. I don't know if I've ever told you the story.
Study.
No, it was kind of a con job.
Really?
No, I don't know if I've ever told you.
No.
I'm sure I have at some point. But listen, we're just wasting electricity here. Let's find out who's here to talk to us.
There's always somebody looking for some.
Right, and?
Who else have you blabbed to?
We don't get a good one here for you. I'm going to have to go to your friend, Dr. Phil.
Got my fingers crossed.
What did you say?
I said my fingers crossed.
You got one more shot.
Say that again.
Got my fingers crossed.
Don't cuss.
Homo.
No.
God, you're ugly.
I guess it's just a matter of what it's compared to.
You are a lot of trouble.
How?
Your
gift basket.
Okay. okay? Can't keep a secret.
No. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Rolling Stones and all the ships at sea. The mayors of Humpback Mountain, Don Geronimo, and a vision address, Mike O'Mara.
Thank you for the compliment, Rob.
Yeah. Thank you, Rob, and hi, everybody. Thank you for listening right at sea. Don and Mike Show, new episode, everybody, on this Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Not Groundhog Day.
No.
02-01-06.
Hi, Donna. Mike Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
Retarded. You can call us from anywhere in America at 877-365-3636. We're also on the internet. Go to donandmikewebsite.com. There you click on Listen Live. And you're going to get the stream. And in honor of the raspberries today.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. What the hell is that?
It's kind of pretty, really.
Pretty if you like vampire movies.
Well, what it is actually, it is a...
the scene from Goodfellas is what it is.
No. It's not at all what you want.
Well, I see what I see.
What it actually is it's an experiment.
Well, tell me, because it's grossing me out.
It's working.
It's a medical experiment.
Eating razor blades?
Now, not all of that was blood.
No.
Well, most of it was.
Pink and purple.
A lot of it was food coloring. Too freaky. Let me turn on the internet stream one more time for you.
Yeah,
okay?
Take another look.
Explain
to me how that happened. What did you do?
Okay. Somebody cut a finger. This morning, somebody cut a finger.
I understand.
While turning on the stream, and it was a gusher.
Okay.
And we lost. Hold on, let me shake it because you know I keep waiting for the finger's still in there.
Well, I'm not going near that.
The finger is in the pipe that brings the internet stream to your computer.
Are you telling the truth, or is this like Wendy's chili?
No, Mike, I'm not. Listen, I didn't spill the stream in my lap, and I'm not going to sue for $10 million.
All right, okay.
I didn't find a finger in the internet stream. I'm just telling you.
You know, our stream is strong, no matter what it looks like. I'm going to just keep listening to it and not look at it anymore.
It's just very red and angry today.
For sure.
Don't drink with it. For God's sakes, don't cook with it, even if you're going to boil it first.
Looks like you were pouring out a glass of Chianti.
Well, he's yours.
What?
Hold it up to the light.
What was that?
Bend over.
All right, thank you, Duke. If you want to contact us during the show. Oh, if you want to call and you're on the internet and you can't use the 877,
right.
Call 800-636-1067.
Nice.
And if you're listening on WJFK in Washington, call 202-432-1067. You can email us anytime at our website, Don and Mike, website.com.
You look like the vermin-ridden son of a bitch you are.
All right, thank you.
Just
Josh.
Over here enjoying the stream, and then I'm going to dye Easter eggs in it.
Okay, now, let's see. High school. I'll talk about that.
Yes,
American
please.
Idol, I know you want to talk about that. I don't, but I know that you want to talk about it, so you know, it's your show, too.
I don't think you're necessarily going to be... My one goal is not to come across as like I'm succumbing. But I have to be honest. Good luck.
We have to mention this first today. You may notice at some point that the show appears to be operating on less than all eight cylinders. Now, we are losing a vital cog of the show in approximately 12 minutes.
I really wish you wouldn't talk about this. Don, they're going
to
be like wolves. They're going
to
be like sharks smelling blood.
We're already nervous.
Because people are going to notice the quality diminishing. You know, the nonstop gags, the funny button that's always on.
Now that you pointed it out. You know, haven't you always told me don't let them know your weaknesses? Haven't you always said, fight the good fight, stay the good long battle?
Here's the thing, Mike, inside, I'm very bravado on the outside.
Right.
Inside, I'm afraid because he's my Mr. Miyagi.
I know, he's your Pat Morita.
That's right. Of course, I'm talking about the brains behind this show.
The guy that really makes the whole thing work.
Joe Ottinger.
That's right.
Joe will be leaving us early today in about 12 minutes because he's going to take a limousine. The official limo of the Don and Mike Show is Northern Virginia Town Car and Limousine Service. Go to www.novalimos.net. Or 703-739-9770. Boy, after that read, he better get laid in that car tonight.
Hey, we finally got a limo company, though.
Yeah. Joe is taking a limo. Apparently, we did this contest before Christmas.
Is it a Hummer?
Well, Mike, who knows? If I read it again, it might be.
At these prices, yes.
Oh, I'm talking about different... You were talking about the car.
Yes, the car. The
I was talking about disgusting sex.
Mm-hmm.
Joe is going to Baltimore with one of our listeners to see the Stones in concert tonight.
The Rolling Stones, if you know anything about Joe Ardinger, and shame on you if you don't.
Joe
Ardinger is it's the most important thing to him in the whole wide world, yeah. Next to his lovely wife, Tracy.
And he is like a kid on Christmas morning. It's like he's opened up his surprise package, and it's 100 Tylenol number 3s with codeine.
Yeah, because we, I believe my comment to Joe was, are you excited about this? And he says, yeah, of course.
Like someone just gave him a month's supply of Vicodin. I mean,
right.
He's even more excited than if anybody had given him pharmaceuticals.
He's excited. We just have to assume he is because he's not showing it that much.
Well, he's wearing his spiked hair. Mm-hmm. He has his old school Stone shirt on.
He's got his black jeans.
We will be talking to him.
which, in my opinion, never go out of style.
No. We'll be talking to him en route to Baltimore for the concert. And we've got him the microphone with that big, gigantic CBS News flag on it.
Right.
So we're going to be expecting all kinds of reports from Joe as he interviews his fellow Stones fans. And also operating at a handicap, we have not written him the normal, hilarious, guaranteed belly laughs questions that we've written before.
I think it's a shame he can't get backstage. Because I know that would be a dream come true.
Oh, God, yes.
Nothing would make me happier than to hear Joe try to interview Mick Jagger.
So it would tonight just be Joe out there. I mean, because Joe can get drunk, he's not driving.
How right. far out there?
Way out there, Mike. Way out there, Joe. In his element, uh-huh. You know, with all of the other great unwashed, mm-hmm. all of them smelling of B.O. and warm Miller Lite, waiting for Street Fightin' Man one more time.
Just a hint of cannabis?
So Joe's on his way. Joe's on his way, or he will be shortly. So please be noting mm-hmm. that at some moment you're going to just notice, hey, what, like, is the reception bad on the radio, or mm-hmm. is the funny button off? Just know that the most vital link, the missing link in this case, will be Joe Ardinger when he leaves today.
If only he could be everywhere. Very exciting that he's going to enjoy the Baltimore stop on the Steel Medicare tour.
Okay. So, Joe, now I've made that announcement. We can move on.
All right.
Because I think we're still safe right now.
We'll be all right.
Let me just make sure he's here.
He's packing.
Before I talk.
You got a gun?
Packing heat. I thought the word was holding.
Stone Show is here. Have a can of beer.
All right.
Joe.
He's still here.
Oh, he's excited.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I know you guys can notch it up.
Well, only with your direction, Oz.
Well, I'll have my cell phone with me, so.
All right, and don't forget, as always, Joe, keep the one-liners coming.
Certainly.
Okay.
I've got a list of them.
Okay, goodbye.
I just have one question. What the hell am I going to do if I can't think of anything to say with Joe in Baltimore?
Well, I had a meeting with Rob, and I gave him some ideas.
Okay. All right. It's not the same thing. It's not like you can run in here and whisper in my ear like you always do.
Mike.
Goodbye, you damn dummy.
Good day.
Goodbye. 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 Get us some good drunken tape tonight.
Enjoy yourself. Duh.
Tomorrow, we better hear you drunk and slurring and loving life.
Entertain us.
And puking and all of your Stones friends.
I think he ought to be loaded before he gets to 95 North.
Well, he's got a town car. Mm-hmm. He's got a town car.
He could do that.
How much is a six-pack of Miller Lite? How much are 2 6-packs? How much is a 24-pack?
I think we could pop for that,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
I got a 20.
Okay. $10.
Do you think you can stop and... Hey, Joe, I'll give you a 20. 20 will buy you how much?
A case. Yeah. A case and a half.
There you go. That's good. You know, I haven't done anything nice for him. You do nice stuff for him all the time. Or do you?
No. You know, not as much as you think. No, certainly more than you'll ever know, Mike.
Hello?
Joe, come on in here. I have a present for you.
Okay. Somebody told me a long time ago, Mike, that the definition of a hero is someone who does something... It wants really nothing for it. Mm-hmm. No one will know, yet you and your recipient.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hero.
Well, I'm being very unheroic.
So perhaps in your eyes, I have done nothing for Joe.
Enjoy yourself. Here's some beer money for you.
All right, we'll hook it up. I know that we'll probably take 66, and there's an Exxon station right there.
He knows where the beer is.
Look at him. He's happy. And look at that hair.
Look at that.
Very stylish.
Extra spiky.
For you don't know, it's our secret. When Joe needed that monkey liver, I arranged for his transportation, paid all the medical bills, and said, not a word. He said, you're my hero. I said, that's why it's a hero, Joe. We keep it quiet.
Quiet.
Joe, what's very worthwhile.
What's the best thing about a stone show? What's the moment for you? What's the, you know, everybody's got when they love something. We got a special moment.
Oh,
what's
the start of the show?
Okay,
the
thank you.
And the introductions. Cheering for Bobby Keys and Ronnie Wood.
Cheering. How are you cheering?
And Daryl Jones, the bass player, the newest guy.
Oh, new guy.
Even though he's been with him for 10 years, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Will you sing along?
Probably.
And now, the person you're going with, who is a winner on this show.
Yes.
Any idea? Do you remember? Is it a man? Is it a woman?
Guy.
Yeah.
It's a guy?
Mm-hmm.
Are there a lot of hot chicks that go to the Rolling Stones shows?
Yes, but they're getting on in years.
They're getting on in years, are they? Uh-huh.
Lots of
cougars. We like to refer to them as the faded 80s ladies.
That's good. I like that.
All right. Well, listen, keep the wit right where it's at.
Yeah.
Right. It seems to me you're operating on just 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it right there.
All right.
Okay. Don't let us down, you big dummy.
I won't let you down.
You go have fun.
Okay.
I will.
Enjoy.
All right.
Bye-bye. You will only be down to half day's pay. You're welcome.
You're killing me.
Very good.
There I go again, doing nice things for Joe that no one will know about.
That's right. Well, now I'm glad I gave him the $20 bill. It's a push.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yes. That's a good thing. Doesn't lose at all.
Well, about $6 a head.
You'll have a good time.
Great, Tracy, baby.
He better come in with a hangover tomorrow.
He will.
Oh,
his mission.
Yeah, you know, most days he does. So I don't think tomorrow will be anything different. Oh, here he is again.
It's the only thing we've ever really had in common.
Joe,
I did want to say that I will miss my wife quite a bit tonight.
Oh, okay.
So.
Nice day. Well, you're not going home? Good save.
Well, I'm
Joe.
Married. I don't have to explain that to you.
Does she like the Stones as much as you do?
She went to the last show and she enjoyed it quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but on the rare occasion that I would want to do something that didn't involve Frida, I wouldn't have to get on the air and say, well, maybe I would have. Yeah, but not after 25 years.
But I'm newly
Or maybe
married.
I would have. I don't
yeah.
know.
But
you're
I'm
right.
newly married. I mean, I've been married, what, 6 months or so?
Right.
I guess.
Not even 5 months.
Right. Well, you know, now that you've made that statement, a good chance for you and that male listener to, you know, put some fresh stink in that limo.
What are you trying to say?
You know,
I think you know exactly what I'm saying.
You know, black
strippers, you know.
Yeah.
All right, you get some strippers and some
faded 80s ladies.
Some hookers.
Dated, faded 80s ladies.
And go for the bigger the hair, the better. The kind of hair that'll press up against the top of the limo.
Right, out of the moonroof.
Right.
All right, get out of here, please.
Okay.
Hey, Rob, I got to ask you a question.
Yeah. Bigger hair than the hostess at the Orleans house.
Hey, big guy, that's kind of a behind-the-scenes question. I know you're doing something over there important on the computer, but I need the stuff over here just in case we go to commercials.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. What's wrong with the computer today?
The remote where I normally do the commercials is not working, so I have to go to the other one.
I see.
Once I get it set up, it won't be much of a problem.
Listen, these new studios are going to be fantastic.
Oh, yeah. One of the what is the completion date? Have we gotten the completion date?
17th of November.
Ah, very good.
Looking 17th of November, and it's going to be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, enjoy. Now, listen, here's something I wanted to mention before I even tell you about this high school thing, which I don't know if I've told you about before.
No, I think you may have, but I don't remember. It was a long time ago if you did.
Joe mentioned, it's funny that he said that, you know, I want to say that he loves his wife because he's going to this thing that I just married. Today, I made a conscious decision. I'm not wearing my wedding ring today. And I feel oogie about it. But it was a ring that Frida got me for our 20th anniversary.
Right.
Now, it would have been 25 years this August. But, you know, you reach a point where you got to say, you know, it had gotten to the point that when I would look at my hand didn't feel right if I didn't have my wedding ring on.
Right. Right.
So I wore my wedding ring and I have worn it every day.
Right.
But what I've noticed recently is that now I look at it and it makes me sad.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's like I think, well, I'm not really married. I mean, well, of course, I'm not married anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Because Frida passed away. So, and it's not like I want to go out there and advertise it.
No, it's like not like you're going out to singles bars.
You can't. It's like I can't wait to go to the mall just to walk around and just put my big fat left hand on some counter and go,
here I am.
You know, please notice. You know, among the big fat fingers, no wedding ring.
Right.
You know, I don't. But I've just decided not to wear it. And I don't mean it out of disrespect to Frida. And I'm only bringing it up because I feel oogie about it. You know, and I know it's one of those things. I didn't even want people to call about it because everybody is different. It's just right. Like with the sex thing that we discussed and with moving on. And I know that I've already thought ahead that the next thing is going to be the next step at some point is going to have to be arranging the house in some way that it is not just a shrine to Frida in every single room, which is kind of the way that I have it set up now.
Right.
I mean, you know, we had always had a lot of family pictures out and stuff like that. But since Frida died, I've made a point of, you know, move stuff around and like that's kind of like what I was thinking today when I was leaving the house and thinking I'm feeling pretty good. And then it's like, boom, I see the pictures. And it's like, then I see the ring and I go, oh God, I'm sad because that's the thing that she had made when she had her ass tattooed.
I remember.
For the thing. Now, who's on the hotline? Could you pick that up, please? So I'm right in the middle of something very important. And it certainly is not Frida. This is not like one of those times I'd be talking and it would ring and I'd know who it was. Who is it?
It's for John. It's Melissa from Jim Nance's office.
If that woman, Nancy, go find out.
Okay.
Go find out. If she cancels today, I swear to God, that's it. We're breaking up with her.
That'll be a painful breakup.
With Jim Nancy.
Mm-hmm. That'll be a very painful breakup.
We've not even mentioned that.
I already feel like she doesn't love us anymore.
We're going to be attempting some type of schedule to hit a certain time in the show today when we've been told the very beautiful and very talented leading lady of sports television, Jim Nance, will be on the show today to talk about the Super Bowl.
She is very difficult to pin down.
Is it something we said? Is there another show?
I think it's her schedule. I think her schedule is all over the place. You know, when she was talking about walking the golf course last week, you know, then I watched the first CBS, I think it was the first CBS golf telecast of the year, and she was out at, I think it was Torrey Pines out in San Diego.
Oh, yeah.
All right, here's Rob with the answer.
Simply a confirmation.
Ah!
All right, well, glad we didn't have to take those drastic measures.
Relief.
But she could still disappoint us.
Yeah, my money would be on the fact that she stands us up today. She's like that.
I hate her when she does this.
Hey, boy, we still have that disc of all those lady songs, don't we?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
All right.
So anyway, listen, about the ring. Yeah. I only mention it because, you know, well, first off, for me, it's better than therapy.
Yeah,
better than having to drive to some dick's office and sit down and, like, you know, have coffee and spend a half hour just getting to the fact of saying, you know, should I wear my ring or not? And I know he would end up saying, it is a decision that only you can make.
Absolutely. And how can anybody possibly find fault with your decision process there? You said it at the beginning. Makes you feel sad. Right?
I don't know what the time frame.
I don't think you're
right. Is on that,
right.
and
that's, I think, the kind of thing where you put aside and then occasionally just take it out and maybe look at it.
And I don't mean this in a sad way. I mean, it's just, the fact is, I'm not married anymore.
Right.
You know, I'm wearing a wedding ring. And again, not like I think that the chicks are going to be out there going, "Ooh, boy, get him up right now. Let's put the ring through his nose today." But, you know, I'm not. I'm just not. I'm not going to be. So, anyway. That's that.
Well, and you explained it with a sentence. I think, you know, I was curious, and then when you said that, I mean, if you look at it and something's, you know, making you feel bad and making you feel sad, that's that's tough. You gotta live it one day at a time.
See, because I would look at it and I would think about how, you know, how things were with Reed and I, great things were, and that it won't ever be like that again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's like at some point, When do I move on? You know, not to be cold, but, you know, when do I realize what has happened? I can't unring this bell.
Right.
You know, I gotta move forward.
Right.
And I just feel creepy about not having it on.
Yeah.
That's
understandable.
All.
Makes sense.
All. Now, let's talk about this high school thing.
Yeah. I'm not sure I've heard this.
No, I'm sure I've mentioned this, but I don't know if
this
I've
is when
ever
you went
told
to Mexico, right, and faked your transcript.
I don't know if I've ever told the absolute 100% true story about this.
I think you've told variations of it.
Last night, I was talking to a longtime friend who shall remain nameless. Okay, so the guy sent me an email. We start chatting. I've not talked to the guy in 30 years since 1976. Here was the deal. I got into radio, started working in radio full-time when I was 13. When, no lie, I would ride my bicycle to the radio station, Winks in Rockville.
Mm-hmm.
Started as a weekender, then got a weeknight shift. Then we moved out to Illinois, got a job at a station there. By the time that I was old enough to have my driver's permit at 15, I was working full-time. Right. And then I had enough credits to graduate high school. Because, believe it or not, I was smart in high school, even though I'm an idiot on the radio, mm-hmm. and I don't remember anything that I learned in high school.
Right.
I had the unique ability, because the thing is, I knew I wanted to be a DJ, as dumb as it sounds. I knew I wanted to be a DJ since I was like 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So I would waste time in class. I would just cram all this stuff, learn it, out in one, out the other,
right.
the whole time thinking about, how can I get into radio? And I'm working in radio already when I'm in, like, ninth grade. I've got a part-time job. And anyway, by the time I'm 15 and I can get my learner's permit, I get offered a job out of town in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. I go to my parents, awful moved by them, by these two creeps that adopted me. You know, I would never allow this to happen with my kid. You know, 15, I don't care how talented you are, if you think you got the world by the tail. When your kid is 15 and a half, which is when I was able to move out, because at that point, back with the way that the rules were, at 15 and a half, you could drive during daylight hours.
Right.
You know, unless you were going to a job. So, or if you're going to a job, you could even drive longer. You could drive at night.
Mm-hmm.
So I got offered this job. And because I'd been working at a station in Illinois and sending out tapes, trying to climb up the ladder, even though I was at that time just going into my junior year of high school. So I go home one day and say, hey, I got offered a job, and it's like $85 a week, and it's in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. And instead of just saying to me, shut up and work at the little station that you're working at right now and just finish high school and then see what happens, my father, the greatest motivator of my life, really, said to me, sure, go ahead. You know, you'll fall on your ass. Just know you can't come back. I mean, once you leave, you leave. When are you leaving?
Wow.
And I said, well, you know, how's right now?
You mean he said he got angry?
Yeah.
Well, said if you do that, you're never coming back.
Said it was dumb.
Right. His whole thing was radio, you know, there's more to life than radio, you know, all that crap about, you're such a smart boy, but you don't make smart decisions. And like, you don't, just because I didn't want a Joe job, and
right.
Although, you know, I worked at Burger Chef and you know, or at the Magic Shop,
right? Al's, right?
Yeah, Al's Magic Shop.
Al was an inspiration to you.
On Connecticut Avenue. He never touched me like Harv Moore did.
But then no one did.
Anyway, here's the point that these creepy parents of mine, they let me go.
Yeah.
Fortunately, you know, you decide 31 years later if I turned out okay or not, but here I am. So the deal is I had to go to my high school.
Yeah.
I had to go to a high school that I had been attending, and I went there and I said, hi, listen, here's the deal. I've already got enough credits to graduate because I had taken advanced classes.
Right.
Said, I've got enough credits to graduate with the minimum. What I would like is your permission to just kind of skate out of here. You let me go, and I'll see you. And the principal said, fantastic, and signed some paper.
Wow.
And so now I'm on my own. Now, let's fast forward to 1970, or hold on, I guess it was, here's my timeline. This was in 74, how old? I was born in 58, and my high school class graduated in 76. So I moved out, I don't know. Anyway, I'm 18 now.
Right.
I'm 18, right. And now I'm working in Appleton, Wisconsin.
I'd be in 76.
Correct. My high school class is going to graduate. I pick up the phone from the radio station I'm working at in Appleton, Wisconsin. I've made about three or four moves since I've left high school to these other small stations, work my way up the ladder. I call and I say, hey, it's me. You know, I'm going to come home for the weekend of this thing and get my diploma. And they say to me, that's great. Hold on one second.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lady says to me, all we need is the transcript from the school that you've been going to. And I said, because I right away didn't say, you know, I haven't been going to school. I said, exactly, you know, I don't remember the parameters. She said, Well, if you look, and she had the paperwork right there. And remember, this is 76. This is before fax machines, anything at all like this.
Right.
She's just looking at this reading. And apparently the thing that I've signed that I threw away a year and a half earlier said that what I would do at the very least was go to these schools in whatever town I lived in.
Uh-huh.
I would go to the high school and say, hi, it's me. Is there any class I can take or anything?
You would continue your education. Yeah, check in with them, really.
Even though I technically...
Somehow the part that you forgot that you told the principal was probably something along the lines of, I will continue, because when you said that at the beginning, I was listening to it like a parent would listen to, or the principal.
Yes.
The principal probably said something, you probably said to him, I'm going to go continue my education.
Well, no, I firmly remember this, and this is the truth. I remember... I don't know how the scale worked, but this was in Illinois that you needed 26 credits to graduate.
Okay.
By the time I started my junior year, I had 29.
Okay.
So, because I had taken summer classes and all this other stuff. So I went in and I said, I'm already at the finish line.
Right.
And they said to me, fine. Now, what they did say, and I'm sure I don't remember it, but they must have said something like, we can't just let you go.
Right.
That wherever you go, get into a school system and at least make an effort to go to a class once in a while. So anyway, I'm flipping out. I'm calling from the radio station one night before my show.
In your mind, you think it had already been done, that you were just going to go back and they were going to hand you a diploma.
Now, thank God I made this courtesy call, that I'm thinking ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make, I just thought, it's been a year and a half. I better make sure that I'm still on the list, right?
Right.
So it was, I was working 6 to 10 at night. So I'd go into the radio station to use the long distance lines for free.
Sure.
Call the school in Illinois before the end of the school day, like before 5 o'clock for the end of the work day. Talk to the woman, and she says, yes, all we need is a transcript. And I said, transcript. I've made, since I left, I've lived in Milwaukee and then Appleton and then Rockford. And she said, well, just from whatever the school is that you were at most recently.
Uh-huh.
She said, if you'll just give me their name. I said, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll handle it. I'll get it. I'll bring it. I'll see you. Okay. Bye bye. Now. This is where this radio friend of mine reminds me when we're talking.
Right.
This is just such an asinine thing. I don't even know why I'm telling you this today, because this is just going to make me look like even more of a loser than many of you already think that I am.
I don't know. You had your 29 credits.
Yeah, but really, here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
How incredibly ballsy, how incredibly stupid of me. I get on the air. Now what happens is I've hung up the phone, and I'm now talking to the guy that I was talking to last night.
Right.
The guy who was on the air before me.
Okay.
And I said to him, I walked in the studio and I said, I'm so effed, I don't have a transcript. I ain't been to a high school.
Right.
And it's funny, Mike, you mentioned about the high schools and sending the most cards for the raspberries and stuff.
Right.
I did the nighttime show, which meant, of course, I was, doing the constant high school battle of the bands, all that crap.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, got on the air and I said something like, and it was partially based in truth. I had taken a job.
Uh-huh.
I had taken a job to work at Fun Love and Walkie, WOKY in Milwaukee, mm-hmm. where I was going to be doing 3 to 6 p.m.
Right.
Now, what a great shift, a three-hour shift on Walkie in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So I had quit this job in Appleton, and I am a station I went back to, incidentally, when I got fired in Milwaukee. But I quit, and they're letting me work out 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that point, I'm not as big a dick as I am today. I'm just a young kid. And I don't even know how this came to me. But I just, on the air one night, in between records, said, incidentally, I don't know if you know this or not, I'm going to be leaving soon. I got a job in Milwaukee. And I always like a remembrance of the cities that I've worked in. And if there's anybody out there, if you've got anything that would have, incidentally, a piece of stationery from the local high school, I threw out 3 or 4 things.
Uh-huh.
And really, the whole time, looking for some idiot that would actually bring me a piece of stationery from the high school. I swear on Frida's grave this is true. I swear to God this is true. I'm answering the telephone like a madman after I say this.
Sure.
Right? Like every line I'm picking up, you're going, Yeah, Blue 128. Hello.
Yeah. That was Blue 128.
Yeah, it's like, you know, yeah, how would you like a copy of the Sisters of the American Revolution? No, thank you. You know, it's like, yeah, Blue 128. Hello. Finally, the guy says, whatever the school is. You know. I've got some, I'm a teacher at whatever this high school is.
Oh.
I say to him, fantastic. Can you drop it off at the station tonight? Guy says, sure. I said, come on down. I'll give you a tour. I'll give you a couple of albums. So the guy comes down.
Give me some blank stationery for my forgery.
The guy comes down, and he gives me three pieces of stationery.
Wonderful.
And I have to stand there in the lobby and bold-faced lie to the guy and say, I want to tell you something, that, you know, this community has meant so much to me. And I've moved so much from job to job,
right,
that I like to just get a little piece of everywhere that I've been, like for my scrapbook. And I can't.
What a bad lie.
And I can't thank you enough. And you know, here's the latest album by Steve Miller. And, you know, hey, it's nice. I got to get back in and play a record. You know, anything I can play for you? Okay, I got it. Okay. Yeah, thank you. Now I've got the paper.
Got the goods.
Now, I have three pieces of stationery. What works in my side in this is that at the radio station, there's an IBM Selectric typewriter. Now, back in the day, anybody that remembers back then,
right,
these typewriters kicked ass.
They were great.
It was like,
just the one that had the whiteout key on it?
Yeah. I mean, big ass green thing. You turn that on, you got that reassuring hum, and man, you type a letter on that thing, and you might as well have been writing with a presidential seal, with a quill, you know what I mean?
Had a real official look to it.
Schools used them.
So, what I do is, I don't even make a rough draft.
Did you take the time to find out who the principal might be at that school?
Had all the information.
You had the info, so you got
now,
the info.
Here's where school, and I remember this, pays off for me. Mm-hmm. I know exactly how to, because I took typing in school. That's one of the extra classes I took to get credits to graduate.
Right.
I know how to space. I know how to put the address in the upper left-hand corner,
the proper
date in the upper right, you know, dear so-and-so.
Right.
I know how many indentations to make on the paragraph. I know how to form sentences. So what I do is, in 10 minutes when I'm done on the air,
mm-hmm,
I write a letter that says, dear Mr. Blutarski, for the last 7 weeks, we've had the pleasure of having Mike in our school. He's truly a joy to be around. His pat, whatever, you know, he enjoys English. We enjoy listening to him on the radio. The kids enjoy talking about his experiences. He's been a pleasure. And then I signed it, you know, very sincerely yours,
right,
with the guy's name. And then I signed it.
Uh-huh.
And I got an envelope, just a plain envelope,
right,
and then went back home. Now, I'm coming back as Mr. Swingin' Dick.
Sure, big city DJ.
Right? I mean, I'm pulling up in my black Trans Am, my Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am. All my loser friends who are just getting out of school now. You know, I mean, I'm pulling up Mr.
Right.
Big Shot, got the job in Milwaukee.
Got a few dollars in your pocket?
Meanwhile, nobody knows that I've got just brown stains like you wouldn't believe, because what I've got to do now is go into the principal's office and give him this bogus letter.
Right.
I swear to God, I did it as the coolest cucumber you ever would have known. It was like something out of the movie The Sting.
Right.
I walk in, I sit down, I'm intimidated as hell.
Sure.
I don't think I'm even 18 yet at this point. No, I'm not. Because my birthday is in September and graduation was in June.
Right.
So he stands up and he goes, hey, it's good to see you again. And we shake hands and he says, you're all set on this end. All I need is the transcript. And I said, well, because I've moved so much, they don't really have a transcript, but I do have a letter from the principal of the previous school. And I hand it over and I give it to him. And very deliberately, he gets it and he reads it and he goes, oh, this appears to be in order. All right, well, we look forward to seeing you on Saturday. And just know how proud we all are of you.
Wow.
The fact that you know, you took the initiative. And meanwhile, the whole time inside, my heart is going like,
sure.
And I spoke last night with the guy who helped me write the letter.
Wow.
Wonderful.
Very good. And it was a triumph. And then you got your diploma.
Yes, I did.
Got to march with everybody else.
I got my diploma, which is technically worthless.
I mean, technically.
Well, it's always been worthless.
Technically, it's, you know, got the stamp on it, right? You know, did you get the gown and everything?
Yeah.
Did the whole routine?
Yeah, no, I rarely did anything in high school that was notable.
Then did your mom and dad come to graduation?
Yeah, of course.
Well, I mean, because they had said, you know, if you leave, stay out or something.
No, well, they came because they wanted, you know, at least to get the shot of that. But,
right,
you know, it was a thing when I really seriously drove in on the Friday night before. Graduation was on Saturday about noon.
Uh-huh.
I drove in on Friday afternoon, gave the principal the letter, saw some friends, saw my parents, graduated, and then drove back and did the Saturday night show on the radio station.
And it's not like you were going on to college, so it's like you really didn't need your transcripts.
You know what you can do now is forge an invitation and go to the 30th reunion.
Anyway, I was talking to a friend of mine last night, and he mentioned that. He said, you know, I was thinking about you the other day.
Uh-huh.
Remember that letter?
Oh.
Like, wow, do I remember the letter?
So did the principal at any time give you pause? Did you think that maybe he took it hook, line, and sinker?
I mean, baby.
Simpler time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Much,
I mean,
much
today,
simpler time.
Today,
but still, never. Even in that time, because I graduated right around the same time, I would imagine that took an awful lot of balls to do that.
Yeah, sure. But also, on the other hand, if they called me on it, the worst that's going to happen is I'm going to have to go back to my U-Haul, and you know, I was going to be moving to Milwaukee anyway, so it was like, what the frig? But this was mainly kind of like an F-U back at my parents. Mm-hmm. You know,
to show them you could do that.
And also because I wanted a high school diploma,
right,
which I've now just told you is worthless.
Do you still have it?
Yeah, I'm sure it's packed
right
somewhere.
Yeah,
I'm sure I got it somewhere downstairs. Big fake document.
Wow.
To frame it, bring it in.
Wow. How does that make you feel?
More coffee?
Serious question. How does that make you feel? Do you feel good to get that off your chest? I feel like you're purging something you've never purged on the air.
No, here's the thing. If I would have remembered it, I would have told it. Mm-hmm. Whenever, I
right
mean, I think right I did before. I mean, I'm not proud of the stuff I did, but I'm proud of the way that I ended up. So,
mm-hmm,
I don't give a frig.
Well, it's good you talked about it, and your 50 minutes are up.
The guy, but I got one more real fast one for you.
Okay,
the guy told me that I forgot about that I did for him.
Our 4 o'clock's late, so go
which
ahead
was just brilliance on my part. Really, I should have been like a master forgerer.
You mean like the guy in Catch Me If You Can?
Yeah. I mean, really.
I mean, he was about the same age when you were doing all that stuff.
So, you know, when you first got into radio, I mean, or
when
back,
was the time that you got on the Pan Am flight as a pilot?
There was a time in radio when you really had to have a license.
Right.
And you would have to drive to an FCC office somewhere, mm-hmm, and you would seriously have to take an exam.
Some people had to take that exam in Harlem.
Yeah, and some people had to take it in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Some in Kansas City.
And here's the thing that's a bitch. If you failed, you couldn't take it for 3 more months.
Right. You couldn't legally work on the radio.
You could not work. So, after I failed it the first time, I got through. Now, this guy that I was speaking with reminded me, you know, there's got to be a statute of limitations on this stuff anyway. This is not really vital stuff.
No.
But here's all that they would do. You would have your regular FCC third-class license ticket,
as it was called.
Yeah. A third-class endorsed license, mm-hmm, meant that you had taken the test.
Right.
And all they did was take your license and stamp something on it. Then you would, because you would physically, like in the case of these guys that I was working with, and when I did it, you would get in your car, you would drive to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
If you passed, they would stamp your FCC license, and you take it back to your radio station.
Right.
That's
put it on the wall. Had to
right
put it on the wall in the transmitter room. Required.
So, this guy had not passed, and he was older than me. He'd been in radio longer than me. He was kind of flipped out. They were getting on his ass about
sure
it. He said, like, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do.
He's a little math challenged, was he?
There was a place, yeah, because you did have to do, like, a lot of calibration and
yeah
stuff like
I
that.
I hated it. Useless.
There was a place, I am not kidding, maybe anybody that's ever been in Appleton, Oshkosh, Neenah, Menasha, Wisconsin would know. There was a place that was called the Stamp Hut.
Oh.
Now, they would make you stamps, not like postage stamps, but like rubber stamps,
oh, yeah,
you know, where
right
you could put your name and your address or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed in the guy. Because I've already done this thing in high school, you know, with him. I've already done this caper with him.
Right.
I said, leave it to me. I'll handle it. What I did was I went to the Rubber Stamp Shack, which is like an outdoor, like, you know that little car?
Tom Hanks was waiting for you outside.
Like a photo hut?
Yeah, like a photo hut. Thank you, Buzz. Mike, I swear to Christ, this is true.
Right.
I went in and I said to the lady, "Hi, I'm Don from, you know, Blue 128, and we're going to have a little gag. We're playing on somebody. We would like to have a stamp made that says this." And it was exactly what they put on, like it said, "This goes to show that this person has passed and is recognized as a third-class license." Now,
the lady must have had part of her brain exposed.
Mike, I swear to Christ.
I'm not questioning you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, don't find it hard to believe. I'm slick like that. I used to be. But no, she was stupid. And also, I mean, who would do that?
Right.
I mean, think about it. Who would do? I had to do a cell job.
But outside of that, if I remember correctly, it was a very simple stamp. It was not an elaborate stamp.
No,
it wasn't like
right.
a seal or anything.
No, it
like
was
that.
Not. But the
it was
verbi-
more like text.
Yes, but the verbiage had to be absolute, and there was no way you could forge that.
Right.
And one day I was out driving, actually delivering the Blue 128 hit surveys to the area record stores. That was one of my jobs,
mm-hmm.
and I drove past the stamp hut or whatever it was. So, and that's when I got the thought, and I went back the next week with my line of BS for the lady and said, "We need this for a guy at work, and it's going to be a joke, like on his permanent record."
Right.
And she said, "Oh, yeah, we can make that for you." So I waited about a week, went in, got it, came to the radio station one day, saw this guy, said, "Take your license off the wall," got out the ink, boom, stamped it for him, put it right back up. Program director came in a couple days later. Hey, congratulations. Third endorsed. Way to go. That's what they say.
Wow.
Eighth time's the charm.
Oh, my God.
Eighth time.
That's incredible. And, it was a very, very intricate little test that you had to take
too
with
hard.
All the readings and calculations. And then, what was it like, 5 years later, they blew the whole thing up. You didn't have to take it.
Yeah, you don't have to have a license now.
Right.
But back then,
it was the be-all. You couldn't work commercial radio unless you had one of those licenses.
Right.
And again, that was one that I can't imagine anybody else would have ever thought of doing because it's so stupid.
Right.
But we would stand there sometimes, this guy and I, during the time I worked at the station, because they were all right on the wall in the studio. Sometimes we'd just stand there looking and go, "That's a fine job. How did we ever do that?" You know, really, how did that happen?
Okay, don't thank you. Thank the lady at the stamp hut.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, she could have, nowadays, of course, that wouldn't happen.
No. I mean, you couldn't. Have I ever told you, boy, I'm using way past my 50 minutes here. I've ever told you when I was a young man, how I discovered the magic. When I was at a library, I had to be, it was 1968, so I'm 10 years old.
Okay.
I had gotten a bad grade in a class. I had gotten like a D, and was petrified of my parents seeing this report card. Now, again, I'm saying all this stuff, and you're just going to think I'm the awfulest, worst, most lying, scheming, manipulative person in the world. But too bad. I think it shows an incredible get up and go on.
Ingenuity.
That I'm a man that can make things happen.
You don't look at it as a character flaw.
Even at a young age.
Right.
Of course I do, Mike. Oh, Jesus Christ. What I did was, and tell me who was as ahead of the curve as I was. In the 60s, when the only place that you could find a Xerox machine was at a library, and it costs 75 cents to make one copy. This was like 68 or 69.
Right.
Now, the reason, so I know they've got it at the library. I know that the report cards have been mailed out. Mm-hmm. I get the mail, and I very carefully open mine up, and I see, oh, Christ, there it is, a D. You know, they're going to be pissed.
Right.
And I know that I can get the grade back up, blah, 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 blah. So what I do is come up with a reason for them to take me to the library. While I'm at the library, which was not the school library, it was like the county library, like
right.
Prince George's County Library, I go in back towards the research part. I get out my report card, and I had all the change I needed. I made a photostatic copy of it.
Right.
So So now I've got my Xerox up.
Right.
The original.
Then what I did was took an eraser, and I erased out every single grade and every single comment that had been written on the card. And there weren't a lot of comments. There were just, you know, A, B, A, B, A, B,
right.
And then just this gigantic, like, big as a horse's ass D.
So it's a clean slate now.
So what I did was I erased all that out,
mm-hmm.
ran it back through the machine again, and now I have my own report card.
Blank.
Well, and what I've got to do
waiting
now...
Waiting for you to fill it out.
What I've got to do now is...
With straight A's.
I had to go to the machine in the library, not a machine, but what's that big, like, almost like a machete? That
it's a paper cutter.
A paper cutter, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, nobody notices because it looks like I look like I'm there working on a school project.
Right, right.
Go over to the corner, and I make sure the edges are all straight on this baby, mm-hmm. and I'm just like that. Put it very carefully in my book. Go out. I'm ready. Let's go. Go home that night. Lock my door. Get out the correct color pen.
Mm-hmm. So it was handwritten. The grades were handwritten in the little squares.
Yes, they're handwritten by me.
You know, but I mean, the teacher
handwritten. The teacher had handwritten.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote all of the grades exactly the same, except they turned the D into an A.
Well, and then, hey, if you're taking that much time, you might as well go all the way with it.
And then being as...
Why make it a C+?
And then being as... The mail was out of my control except for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that I had a couple of tense days with, like, my parents saying, shouldn't your report card have arrived already?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should call the school. And I was like, nah,
no,
don't sweat it. And I remember the Saturday waiting for the mailman,
right.
Finally, he comes. I go running down there, and there it is. And I got and Jack, I got to work fast. Now,
yeah.
I don't care about ripping it open. Because I'm just going to give it to them.
Right.
So what I do is, and they could be watching me. I mean, I don't think that they were watching me.
So the mailman was delivering the real report card?
No. When the mailman came, just on a Saturday, which is the only day that I could sneak something into the mail.
That you would be there when the mailman was there.
Now, I've got the envelope that the real report card came in.
Gotcha. Now I understand.
That I was lucky enough to snag.
Right.
So... Now, this is the only day of the week that I can make the switch, so it's Saturday. I go running out there. Inside my little pocket, I've got the envelope,
right,
that the real report card came in. I get all the mail from him, and at the same time, I've got the fake report card in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
While I'm going through the mail, I pretend that I'm reopening the envelope.
With sleight of hand.
Right. And now keep in mind the details here. I make sure that I rip off the corner that's got the date it was postmarked.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that Sam and Fran won't... I'm 10 years old! So that they won't figure out, like, it showed up a week and a half early.
Uh-huh.
I slip that baby back in there. I walk inside like a cool customer. Go, well, here it is. You asked for it. There's a report card. It's pretty good. Played it so low-key. And those stupid Fs never knew. They never knew the difference. They never knew. Didn't matter.
And when was the time where you bought the Pan Am airplanes and put them in your tub?
I didn't do that.
It never got into checks, did it?
No. That's all I've got.
It's not. It's not. You know, if you'd taken it a step further, you could have been, you know, traveling the world.
Yeah.
And you know, and had the suitcase full of all the IDs and stuff like that.
Man.
No, these were just.
You chose the radio career path, mm-hmm. and
similar.
Some might say certain people in this business are con artists mm-hmm. anyway. Mm-hmm. But
right.
You know, you could have. It's really some of these things, especially at 10, sounds like you could have been. Who was that guy's name? What was that guy's name
Frank.
In the Frank something?
Like Frank Abagnale.
Abagnale or something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hello, Frank. I knew you'd be on this plane. Tom Hanks waiting for you. That's amazing. It's 10.
Right. Well, there you go.
Were they pleased with the report card? Did you get a pat on the head? Did you get any immediate payoff?
No, as I recall, it was something like, okay, good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, although if it had been bad, it would have been.
So they didn't have to sign it and send it back like you do now.
Negatory.
Mm-hmm.
Negatory. And, you know, and then by the time the next one came, I had been worried that there would be a D on there.
Right.
But I didn't even sweat it. I thought, what the hell, it had been raised up to a B or whatever by the next grading period.
I got a D in the first 9 weeks of a school year, and I was able to carefully trace over it and turn it into a B. Just add that middle line in there and curve it off a little bit. But then, of course, I was, as you just pointed out, faced with a challenge every 9 weeks after that, forced to change the grade card that came out. I had to do that four times.
My kids will never have that opportunity.
No.
It would be children of two homes, because both parents get a set of the report card.
Wow.
That's the way that works.
And also, you know, now you couldn't do it.
No.
I mean, well,
technology.
You could do a lot more with computers now, though.
You know, I'm not sure about that, though. I mean, the only thing that would prevent it is you have to sign it and return it.
Mm.
Yeah. And I'm not sure. You know, when you're signing and returning a report card, at least at my kid's school, that you would think that every single teacher...
Well, now we got that cleared up.
Sorry about that.
Every single teacher would have to review the report card.
Oh.
Yeah, that's not good. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Good thing we've graduated.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Hey, was that D in citizenship? Man, you were a bad kid.
No, you know what that D was? That D was in entertainment, my friend. Because I knew that
You entertained yourself.
I knew that I had something to offer. You know, listen, when Van Gogh said, "Mom, listen, history is just a drag, because I'd rather paint."
Mm-hmm.
You know, did they listen to him? Of course
they
not.
They said, "I'm all ears."
And Van Gogh had to get out the Xerox machine and fake his report card at art school.
And they looked at him and said, "Knock it off." He said, "No, I'll cut it off."
All right, I'm not telling you that obviously to make you think better of me. It's just what I feel like talking about today.
You're in that mood.
It's what I did last night. I thought about that. Right. And if there was anything else at all, I would tell you now. Because
mm-hmm.
It's pouring out of me.
That's the mood you're in. It's Confession Wednesday.
That's it. I'm done.
And I keep all my secrets to the grave.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah. Hello there.
Yeah, hello there.
Yeah, my kids' school, we can actually go online. They have what's called Edline now. You can go online and see their grades anytime you want to.
Yeah, see, I would have been screwed.
The internet.
Yeah, you don't even have to wait for a report card.
Yeah, would have been just screwed.
But if your kid is a computer whiz, he can hack into that.
Right, dummy up a web page.
I saw War Games.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, I wanted to get online and talk to the guys about how they now put grades online for parents to
do. Everybody's saying that. Yeah. Yeah. See, that wouldn't have worked for me.
Oh, that's awful.
Boy, I would have had to eat that D. And then...
isolate that.
I just thought about D.
That's another story, isn't it?
I just thought about that, yeah. That's when I got a really bad report card. Really bad report card. Now, eat D. Like you like it.
That is a real story, though. I remember that one, too.
Okay, that's not a real story.
That's right. That's not
a
real story.
That's a made-up story.
That's a fake story. It was highly entertaining, though.
Nobody ever said to me, eat D.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not it meant it. Yeah. Nobody meant it.
No, of course not.
Eat the D.
Eat the D.
Watch out for the D.
Okay, we'll be right back, I think.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
The girls have been showing really good this time in the audition series. This girl, Paris Bennett, Catherine McPhee.
Don't they have an advantage over the guys when it comes down to final judging?
Well, this is what's weird about it. I think, and Simon thinks, that this year is the year of the boy. I don't think the boys have shown that good in the audition rounds, but I tell you, we've got some great boys. Really great boys.
Here are the boys. It's like a marrow transplant for your funny bone. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello? Yeah? Are you there?
Good.
You know what? Don't you just
shoot. You have a
dog for
it.
Yeah.
Desperate cry for help?
Maybe we will shoot him. I don't know. Hello?
You all right?
Yes.
Hey, you on the telephone.
Hello?
Yes.
You're on the air.
You're on the air. What do you want?
Oh, I wanted to know, Don, did you print that money for your Trans Am that you were driving?
That was a long wait. But in its stupidity, it's amusing. Did you print them? It's when you were forging all the cash, too.
Yeah.
If he would have said it right up front, Mike.
Right. Mm-hmm. But hey. I think he's, you know, he's late.
Sorry.
First one of the day is always the most satisfying.
It's okay, they're forged bullets.
Okay, before we talk to Joe, before we try to solve a Dick Van Patten riddle, boy, we got a lot of stuff to get to. Mike.
Yes?
American Idol. I did not watch it last night. Did you watch it, Buzz?
No, not at all.
You never watch it, Buzz.
No, never.
You watch it, big guy?
Of course. Love it.
Mike, you watched it?
I did.
And I know you wanted to address the nation today.
I have a statement to make regarding American Idol. This is in no way meaning that I'm giving up on the show. But last night, I believe I saw cracks in the foundation of the show that I was so excited about.
No, no.
There was a serious boredom factor.
No,
come Rob, on. Rob, it was
dark side.
Mike, that guy.
Always, wait a minute. Hold on. I've always made the argument that what I like the most about it, believe it or not, I think it's fun, all well and good to see the people that audition and are bad and are goofy wearing goofy hats. But the thing that keeps it going for me, really, what I enjoy about it, mm-hmm. is I like to see the potential finalist.
Right.
And in Las Vegas.
The next Kelly Clarkson.
Yes.
Right.
It sucked. It was the worst. And they said that it was bad.
Yeah.
And it made me realize that if they don't get talent in the cities they go to, mm-hmm. you can't sustain that entire broadcast with people that are bad.
So what you're
telling
me... Because
they tried to do it last night. I'm telling you, last night...
There's a chance.
This is what I'm telling you.
You're going to jump off the bandwagon.
Last night, they tried to sustain the whole hour mm-hmm. with primarily bad people.
No.
And you know what?
See what I'm doing? Hold out my arms.
I'm welcoming
you. I'm not ready yet.
Jump into my arms,
I'm not
Mike.
Ready yet. I'm not ready yet because I will still follow it to see if they... But it hurt because there were so many bad performances, and even the bad people weren't so bad that it lost. I was sitting there. Carla felt the same way. She likes the show as much as I do.
When they've handed you so much great top drawer entertainment all year thus far,
mm-hmm.
that when I mean one of these episodes is going to have to be not as good.
Well, it wasn't.
But
and you know it wasn't. The fat guy was.
Don't you think it was?
He was fat.
He was really fat.
He was really fat, but it wasn't good enough. You know what I need?
He had a really high voice.
I need two things. You need more people that are going to be like going to the finals,
right.
that are a pleasant surprise with a nice backstory, and the people that they reject.
Yeah.
You need more people that are going to wig out like that blonde girl from last year. Remember the one that we interviewed on the show? Mm-hmm. The lady that really went nuts.
Yeah.
And you know what? The judges appeared bored to me.
Mm.
And they were bored. You know they appeared bored on the show. And that translated to there weren't any big-time fights.
I promise you the show will be back.
Where are they going next?
You've never been more brilliant, Mike.
Thank you.
I've never admired you more.
Thank you.
I know that you're under extreme pressure, that the last thing you want to do is be perceived as...
I was really, as an ass-kisser.
Following my lead.
I know.
But you know what it is?
But I'm being honest.
Hey, Tiger.
I'm being honest.
Know what it is? Starts with B, ends with N.
What's that?
It's called B-R-A-I-N. You got one, my friend.
The Brian.
Brian?
That's right.
I might take it a step. No, I will...
Brain song. I love that movie.
Brain song. I love you, Brain Piccolo.
You're getting good at that.
I will watch it again tonight. I will watch it again tonight. And I could come back strong
you will.
To the hoop.
You will.
Or I could come in and say, this is really
where
are they going next? They're going to, I believe, Austin, Texas tonight.
Great city.
Good luck.
In American Idol 5, we coming to get live. We bring in the vibeness. We here to live in everybody. Randy in the 80s told me how to top and pick up the ladies. Paula ride around at her new Mercedes. And Simon, holla holla, it goes American Idol 5.
I mean, really? American.
And the guy's wearing a Rastafarian wig.
That's what I've been saying.
Listen. I don't even have a legitimate high school diploma. And I realize this is beneath me.
If you had seen the fat guy, you would have liked it last night.
Are you hanging it all on the fat guy? Am I mischaracterizing the episode last night?
No, there was not the talent, but here's how you could have saved the episode. They always have one contestant they save till last.
Right.
Should have been the fat guy, and they should have really made a lot of fat jokes. Like I was doing in my own
He did
room.
Make a fat joke, but it was a bad fat joke. Yeah. He'd eat us out of house and home or something like that.
Simon, put away those daggers.
It was really, last night was the first time it was... Disappointing to me. Disappointing to the point where I was beginning to feel I was feeling the enthusiasm waning.
Were you moody last night?
Yeah, I was.
Sour stomach?
I'm moody this week. In fact, I'm as down as I get. This is a terrible time of year for me.
We will welcome you back.
You'll be disappointed.
And we will welcome you back, Don.
Oh, no, you will not.
Yes, we will.
You will not.
Oh, we will.
Oh, no.
What about me?
We don't want you.
First name.
Let me simply say this.
Last name and power. No, I may be back, but for right now, no.
Let me say
I've not watched more than 1 minute of this goddamn show that I've devoted my life to for the last
four
years.
You know what else hurt? This is, and this may be the most important thing.
Yeah.
They had a guy that was a gondolier that sang at the Venetian out in Las Vegas, who was, I thought, the best male singer they had on last night, and they punted it.
They
were clueless, and they put people through who sucked.
That's just not right.
Was he
and they usually, up until this point, I've agreed with the judges.
Mm-hmm. See, now it becomes that he's not really mad at the show. He just disagrees.
I do disagree. But, the show was boring, and I disagreed with, with some of the choices they made.
Was it your gondolier?
It was my Rob, you know that I enjoy my time at the Venetian Hotel.
I know
casino.
You do.
It's where Jacqueline Vargas works. I forgot her married name, but I was kind of pissed off. Elizabeth
Vargas.
Tonight will be a very important. I think
tonight the best.
And I emphasize think. I think I'm going to watch it tonight.
It is going to be tonight the best hour of television.
Okay, stop it now. You've had your time
since the last episode.
No.
Of what? Any program.
You'll be disappointed.
You've had your time.
Okay.
Step away from the microphone.
I could come in tomorrow singing a completely different
song. I'm talking to Rob now.
I could come in tomorrow saying, hey, it's back. It's better than ever. They got back on track that it was a blip on the radar.
Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
I was just going to tell you, I totally 100% agree with Mike.
Now, hold on. Let me just stop you. Don't you really mean you agree with me?
Don,
hold on a second.
Tell me.
Hold on a second. Who was?
Why do you keep interrupting this guy?
Mike,
he's agreeing with me.
But you are agreeing with me now after arguing with me about this for weeks.
I am. It just last night sucked. It really did. It
but I'm glad you agree with me, sir.
So by agreeing with Mike, I agree with you forthwith.
I suppose if you must, yes.
Well,
somehow I don't like that. Sometimes that leaves a horrible taste
now,
in my mouth.
Welcome. You know what? It's like our Forrest Gump connection.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We're the only two people.
You're right. You're right about that.
We're the only two people that saw Forrest Gump.
Remember that?
And hated it.
I did say when you came out with that statement about American Idol that you have a... you have a knack for kind of identifying certain trends. But I'm also not ready to jump into your arms just yet because I want to see. Tonight's a very important episode. But yet last night affected me so much that I'm not even sure I'm going to be able to come in here with an opinion tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Ouch.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch.
Yep. I'm going to have to see what's on the docket.
How it starts.
Hey, would you bring in the basket? We're just going to have to tease this now. We'll tease this today. Tell you something that we'll follow up on our show tomorrow in an early episode.
Uh-huh.
I mean, in an early part of tomorrow's episode.
Ooh, a basket.
Yes. This basket came from Dick Van Patten.
How nice.
It's a basket full of his rancid dog food.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
Irish food.
And a loaf of bread.
Which, of course, is edible by humans as well.
Is it dog bread?
I don't know if it's dog bread.
No, it's like... It's the good water crackers.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And
I think it's sourdough.
And bread. There you go, Mike. There's the bread.
I'd rather have the dog food done. Beluga's eating wet now.
Okay, well, here you go.
Save me an Irish stew.
Let's get everything. All
because it's not for human consumption.
I disagree.
So, we get the following card.
Uh-huh.
And it says, "Hi, Don and Mike. I just got home and heard your message on my machine. I was in the hospital for a few days because instead of eating my dog food, I was eating cake, candy, and drinking too much soda, and my blood sugar got out of whack. Here's the joke of the week you missed."
Oh, good.
A little kid goes to his father and says, "Daddy was a transvestite." His father says, "Go ask your mother. He'll tell you."
That's a good one.
Yeah. Hope all is well. Your pal, Dick Van Patten.
So does that take care of the stroke rumor?
Well, I don't even know if we've discussed that on the air.
No. Have we?
No. John Norman, I guess, what's today, Wednesday? On Monday, John came to me. Hi, Johnny. John was on one of our fan sites, right?
Yeah, the BM Eaters.
Okay, so he was at RadioGodsForum.com, and he came in and he said, "Have you heard anything about Dick Van Patten having a stroke?"
Oh.
I said, "I've not heard a thing." And John said, that the people on the thing
were talking about it?
Yeah, there was a couple posts that he'd had some sort of a mild stroke. I did a little bit of looking around, and I found a couple of things online, but nothing concrete. So,
Acknowledging with this note to us with the gift basket that he was in the hospital. That seems to me that would be what it was all about.
I was in the hospital for a few days. Yeah, right. Because instead of eating my dog food, he's eating cake, candy, and
I remember when we went out to dinner with him, he doesn't drink alcohol, but he does drink like 12 or 15 cans of Coke or Pepsi.
Like regular soda?
Regular, yeah.
Okay.
He is an addict.
You know, there's just been one dick who's already had a stroke.
Yeah.
You know, Clark.
That's
and
true.
I'd hate for my favorite dick to have had a stroke.
Mm. Dirt issues.
We don't play those babes on the air.
I hope that's what it was, that it was a blood sugar thing, and I hope he's okay.
So, John, anyway, I guess now that we're talking about it on the air, after you saw that on the message board, the fan message board, you did recon, and you were able to find that he did or did not?
I saw something. I couldn't find anything concrete. Post on E! Online from the 28th about a mild stroke. But again, I couldn't find the article to confirm it.
All right. Well, tomorrow we'll call him.
Okay.
We'll call him tomorrow. You know us. We're up front. We'll say, hey, Dick, what's happening?
Yeah, if we heard a lot of rumors, can we put him to rest? How are you? Are you feeling okay? Hey, if he answers the phone and says hi, we'll know everything's all right.
Hello.
Oh, God forbid.
Oh, no, I don't want to hear that.
New Year's.
Rockin' E!
No, please.
All right, bye, Johnny.
Bye.
Bye-bye. But we got a wonderful basket of dog food from Dick Van Patten today.
I'm bringing this home to Beluga.
Look at the picture on the cover of the card.
He's the Uber whore, isn't he?
Yeah, it's him wearing his big chef hat, making his dog food, eating it with his dog.
Right. He's made a lot of money, apparently, on that dog food.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think
I've got the factory's like right over. And isn't everything near his house?
Yeah, hold on, Rob, just point out.
Right.
So it says, hope all is well, your pal, which is what it really says, your pal,
right.
And then it's signed Dick Van Patten. P.S. Try the hobo chili. You'll love it.
that's good. You got to like dog food that tastes better than people food.
It's dog food, Buzz.
I know, but it's better than dog food.
All right, well, we hope Dick Van Patten gets well. We'll try to call him on tomorrow's episode.
Have you seen the Natural Balance Eatables for Dogs Chinese Takeout with sauce?
No.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
This is the cover of the can right
there.
Oh, he's got the rice paddy hat on.
He does.
And look, the dog is a sharp head.
God. Oh, that's not too stereotypical, Joe.
Two cans of the Irish stew, two cans of the Chinese. I'm trying to see if we've got
dog
the hobo
food.
Chili.
It's
hobo
dog
chili.
Food.
I think it's great.
A lot of the Irish stew.
It's dog
good.
Food.
He knows how much I like it.
There's
the hobo.
He loves it. He has the traditional hobo. He's got his belongings tied up in a red kerchief
on a stick
on the back of a stick.
That's wonderful.
Eat a lot of that, and you're going to get a stroke.
Oh, God.
Eat up that Chinese takeout and watch American Idol, Mike. You'll be glad you did.
Do you think he put the Wellington water crackers in here for us to eat with the dog food?
Yeah, I think so.
Calm down. God. You really want to eat this, don't you?
It's delicious, if you haven't tried it.
He did eat it when Dick Van Patten sent it.
Buzz wolfed it down.
It's better than Dindy Moore.
All right, time out, everybody.
What? Okay.
You would eat Dick Van Patten's dog food over Dindy Moore beef stew?
Any day, and I'll bet you I like his chili better than Hormel.
All right, but I'm going to leave you a can of this, but the rest of it's going home to a pug.
Fair enough.
All right.
And you know why I like Hormel? Like a little bit of whore in every bite. We'll be right back. Better than a little bit of melon, everybody.
Ah! Hormel.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
I like duty. Let me talk about duty. Why? Because it needs to get done. This administration has failed to do it. And now we have an urgent duty. We should do it now. Do it. Do it well. If it feels good, do it. Duty. Everybody. Duty. Do our duty. Duty. Everybody. Duty. Do our duty. Duty. Everybody. Duty. Do our duty. Duty. Everybody. Duty. Do our duty.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime. from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
We are.
What's this music? Let's hit the gas and electric, Mike.
Are you ready?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike!
You never heard of this song?
I don't think so.
How's it? The Don and Mike Show.
Perhaps I've gone a bit too underground for O'Mara?
Is this kind of like a fifth dimension knockoff group or what?
They're like an acid group from San Francisco back in the 60s.
Wow. Yeah.
Pacific Gas and Electric. Like they performed with Janis Joplin. And,
wow, I didn't know that.
Yes.
You learn something every day on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there you go. Pacific Gas and Electric. They're very good.
PG&E.
Very cool.
That's who they are.
Are you ready? Woo! Are you ready?
I think you've got it.
I do.
Woo!
I'm a fan now.
This just in to our email at DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Yes.
Subject, Dick Stroke.
Oh.
Ain't Is Enough star Dick Van Patten currently is recovering from a stroke. Van Patten told Variety that he suffered a slight stroke and had problems with his left leg and arm.
Okay.
But overall, he's feeling better, and we've got the link to Variety, so we'll put that on our website today.
Well, even if you have one, it's good to hear that he's doing well. I'm glad that he's recovering.
Now, you call yourself a producer?
I do.
Okay.
Not.
Hold on. Especially now that we know he's going to be okay.
Yes.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. Got a card from him.
We got a message from him.
Right. We do.
We got more than just a card from him. We got a message from him. From Dick Van Patten. That's not the right cut.
Right.
There we go. Hold on a second. Here we go.
Oh, I'm glad. That was a quick turnaround.
Dick Van Patten.
I enjoyed the movie. I thought Spartacus was better, but then I'm prejudiced.
Where's the best one? Got it?
No. Grease.
There you go.
It's good.
Thank you.
He was so charming the way he said it with the hair slicked back.
Yes, there it is. Happy New Year, everybody.
Thank you. Let me see. You know how they say that 40 is the new 30 or
yeah.
All that crap like that?
Actually true.
I have another theory for you, seriously.
Okay.
Gay is the new retard. And bear with me on this.
Please explain.
I have always thought that the easiest way for an actor to get any kind of acclaim is to play a retarded person.
Uh-huh.
It takes absolutely no, here you go.
Thank you!
You're welcome.
Yeah!
It takes nothing. All you got to do is act retarded.
Mm-hmm.
And the awards start coming your way.
Apparently.
Well, now, gay is the new tar.
You just have to be careful not to play it too silly.
This is because of Brokeback Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Pitt wants to do a movie now where he plays a gay man.
Of course he does.
Brad Pitt wants man-on-man action. Brad Pitt says he wants to do a movie that straight men and gay men would like.
You know, I'm really, really tempted to take in the Brokeback Mountain with all this Oscar buzz.
Yes.
Oscar loves Brokeback Mountain, Bob. Take it in.
He does.
Is there really... Didn't we hear there is really kind of a... An explicit scene in there? Is there a scene where they're crawling on top of each other?
I will bring this in. Did you not... because we've all been on TV.
Yes.
We have our SAG cards.
Right.
Have you been getting your DVDs from SAG?
No. I get the ballot.
Okay. For instance, last week in the mail...
You got a DVD?
Yes. I have all of the movies that were nominated for SAG Awards on DVD, like with Brokeback Mountain, that I told you had that little thing up on the top that says this is the property of, Miramax Productions or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. As a matter of fact, I opened up the package the other day and it was stuff that's been out for a while, like Crash with Don Cheadle
was
one of them that they sent. But,
big nominee.
But I got Brokeback Mountain maybe 2 weeks ago. I'll bring it in.
Did you take a peek at it yet?
Do you remember the show?
Did you screen the whole thing?
No, I watched the very beginning
ahead.
And watched the very end.
And in that, you saw some
Yeah, well,
hot man on man action.
Here's what I was able to discern from watching the parts of Brokeback Mountain that I watched. Starts off, I waited, you know, I watched it with fast forward to see them kiss.
Like you watch, like you would watch Channel 596, right?
A porno, right. Then I was
hoping against hope that you would see the scene.
Then I watched a little bit of the awful. It's a bad triangle because the one guy's married,
right?
And I watched some of that, and it was bad because he still is homo. But they go back there every year, and then at the very end,
I'm gonna find out how to get those DVDs.
At the very end, it had what I considered to be an explicit scene. And don't you remember when I told you that Jake Gyllenhaal was doing the pitching?
Yeah.
And Heath Ledger is catching.
I thought you were doing that because you got it through one of your many sources. I didn't know that you had actually seen the movie.
Well, I didn't. Now, I didn't really see the movie. I mean, I've got the disc. I watched the beginning. I watched part of the middle. And I watched the end.
But you watched it over, those particular scenes.
Oh, yes.
Over and over and over again.
Have a happy ending?
They're now burned into my TV. You know, you get logos burned into your TV.
Yeah. Just constant viewing. It's really on your TV always.
Yeah, but it's something about being in the Screen Actors Guild, which, again, to me is hilarious.
In the guild.
It's the biggest catch-22. Imagine all the goddamn waiters and waitresses in Los Angeles that want to be actors. Here's the deal. You've heard this a million times, but it bears repeating one more time. You cannot get a job, a speaking role, in a movie or a TV show unless you have a SAG card.
Right.
You cannot get a Screen Actors Guild card unless you're in a television show or in a commercial or in a movie, in a speaking role.
Right. So the only way to get one is to sneak. And you know, I know that seems to be the theme of the show, but you spoke up when we were doing the bit as extras. We were supposed to nod and bow as aliens. As the first take goes, Don surprises me.
We did our famous role on the hit show Babylon 5.
A show that we are both still getting royalty checks from, which blows me away. And have you noticed they must be running it somewhere more often? Because my checks have gone up. They used to be like $2.95, and now I got one for like $234.
Wow.
It was amazing. But the role called for Don and I to be ambassadors from some alien planet, and the star of the show is going to come over and say, thank you for the commission, Ambassador. And Don and I were supposed to nod.
Uh-huh.
So she comes over, says, thank you for the commission, Ambassador. And Don, unbeknownst to me, goes, thank you. And I look at him like, you F. How did you? And at that moment, they said, oh, the lighting wasn't right. We have to readjust. And I said, well, if he's gonna do it,
uh-huh,
I'm going to do it. And then it was this.
Right.
And you said to me something like, well, you can do it, too.
Yeah,
go ahead and do it. I'm like, yeah.
He said, they're not going to stop me. Go ahead. I'll say thank you. So you say thank you, too.
Yeah, and we both said thank you. And after we were done that afternoon, I think it was back at the hotel, somebody came to us with all this paperwork
that we had to join the Screen Actors Guild.
Right. And now we're film actors.
Now,
hallelujah.
Now, here we go. Who says the boy's not coming around as producer? He pulled the clip of us on Babylon 5.
Excellent.
Not a joke. Listen to the acting. What did Frida used to say about this? That it was, she would compare us to that guy on Jack Webb.
Dragnet.
Yeah, the way we walked was Dragnet style.
Here we go. Listen careful, because we're not on till like the end of this 45 seconds. Babylon 5, that smash show.
Starring Don and Mike. Starring the idiots.
I appreciate the commission, gentlemen. See you next month.
See you then. Thank you.
There it is.
Did I say see you? And then you said thank you?
Yep.
That's what it sounded like.
Uh-huh. That's it.
It is thank you. Don's thank you was like this. Thank you.
That's how you get in the Screen Actors Guild.
And we're in, and they can't take that away from us now, right?
Sounded like one of the dumb football players.
You know that? We came to play that day.
Mm-hmm.
Hours of makeup, too, to get the prosthetic head.
So anyway, because of that, yeah, I get all that crap, too, like to vote in the Screen Actors Guild awards, but
I get a ballot. That's all I get.
I get the movie.
But I can take the card and go into any movie. You, apparently, you can present that card
right
at any movie house and get into the movies for free. It's something I have never taken advantage of.
Oh, you should.
Mike.
I would feel like a tart if I didn't. Look at me.
I got one more thing for you because I've been thinking about you. I wanted to mention this book. We have a guest coming on. We got another guest coming on. So let me just mention this. I think that maybe I was unduly critical, not critical. It gave you too much of a hard time about the 69-cent menu.
And you mean the Little Mikey Burgers?
At the Look Around Cafe. I've got an idea for you.
Okay.
Now, we're chasing this interview. She's a 10-year-old kid
mm-hmm.
from Utah, and she's the National Kid Chef of the Year.
Wow.
Listen to the item.
We got ads out.
Listen to the item now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did I mention that this contest for the Kid Chef of the Year mm-hmm. sponsored by Spam?
Okay. All right.
Here is what she made.
Mm-hmm.
Breakfast corn dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Made with Spam. Now, first, I think Rob would eat it,
mm-hmm.
and you, I think, could sell it. Listen mm-hmm. to this.
Okay.
You take Spam.
All right.
And you mold it into the shape of a hot dog. So you do this with your...
I'm listening.
You do this with your hand. Now, is it...
You know what I'm thinking already?
What?
Cheaper than 69 cents.
Yeah.
Now, hold on. Mm-hmm. Isn't this the part that sounds like Rob?
Okay.
You take the Spam, and you, with your hands, like a Play-Doh, you make it into a hot dog.
Right, right.
Then you dip it in apple, cinnamon, pancake butter.
Batter.
Uh-huh.
What is it, butter? Batter. You dip it in apple, cinnamon, pancake batter.
Ooh.
And then you deep fry it twice over.
Yeah. There's the key. Deep fry. You make anything taste good.
And when you're done,
uh-huh.
you dip it in honey syrup.
Really?
Yeah, that is the Spam breakfast corn dog.
Do you think I should put that on the 69-cent menu?
Absolutely.
You know the only stipulation?
What?
They'd have to be mini.
Of course.
They'd have to be small.
That's a given.
I mean, I think most people know when they go to your place. That's the
portions, the portions. You gotta make a profit.
Yeah, that's exactly.
How do you know that? I didn't know you were privy to that meeting.
Right.
Where the portions are the smallest?
Mike's Lilliputian.
When will we debut after St. Patrick's Day, the 49-cent menu?
Oh.
I think we've gone to the wall with 69 cents.
No, you listen. Okay. I know that's why you have.
I'm going to bring you guys in Little Mikey Burgers.
That'd be great.
I know that's why you have midget night. They eat half as much.
It's just the 69-cent menu is phenomenal for little people.
Don't you photograph all of your menu items with small people?
Yeah,
so they look bigger.
Well, Scott the Dwarf lives out around there, and he's come to the place a couple of times.
Are you? Or are
I
you
partied
not,
with him?
Semi catering our poker party this weekend.
No. No, I'm
you're not.
You're not?
No. You own a restaurant.
No, wait, I can probably.
You own a restaurant, and you're not going
to bring
food?
Do you want me to cater it with Little Mikey Burgers? I'll bring the 69-cent menu to your house. Everything on there. I'll bring the calamari, the mini quesadillas, and the 69-cent burgers.
Calamari?
You said you were going to bring ribs.
Well, no.
We'll get sauce on the card.
I'm going to the gun show on Saturday. So I'm going to be halfway to, I can't go all the way back to the buses.
Are you talking about
I'm going to the motorcycle show. But the gun show's right next door, I was told. By my friend Peter, who might want to look in. I said, I'm not interested in going into the gun show.
Why?
But do you want, the ribs are like a specialty thing. The other stuff would be good, too.
You're the guy that owns the restaurant. I mean, you said you would cater. You said,
do you want, what do you want?
Well, ribs.
You want the ribs?
As long as you're...
Beef ribs. They're the big... I'll see what I can do. I'll bring something.
Right. No, you know what?
What I want to do is make it keep. How long can... Like, if it can keep for, like, 4 hours or something like that, I can do it. Yeah, and it wouldn't go bad, would it, if I had stuff like sitting in the car?
Unless
it's like an 80-degree day.
Right.
It's not going to be 80 degrees.
No.
Global warming.
So you don't like the idea of the mini burgers, then?
Again... Gosh, I've never imposed on our friendship and the fact that you own a restaurant.
You know, you're more than welcome.
But you've
certainly given me tons of free quality advertising, cementing a positive image
mm-hmm.
in people's brains. I will do whatever you need. What do you? Your wish is my command on that. Anything you want.
Top your regular topless waitresses.
Yes, please.
Jeez.
Oh. God.
Well, the ones you used to have.
Oh, God.
shouldn't tell me not to say anything, because you know that I will.
I know.
I won't anymore.
Oh, thank you. What do you seriously?
Really, if you want to bring the 69-cent burgers, bring them on.
Okay.
I mean, really, I don't care. It's funny to me that you own a restaurant and therefore you should be catering our porco party.
I'm bringing food. I just wasn't going to bring my own food because I was going to be out there near another joint, but I'll do. No, Rob, no fondue. No effing fondue.
What will you bread the spam in?
In pancake. Okay. Cinnamon and apple pancake.
We'll talk about the poker game, our Super Bowl poker game that we're having on Saturday night.
Very, very, and it's gonna be big fun, and I will not let you down.
Okay, thank you, Mike. When we come back. Now, this guy is part Rain Man and part Piano Man.
I'm pretty excited about this guy.
Yeah, so am I.
I think this is going to be a fun guest.
This is a guy, I don't know how much airtime we're going to end up giving this guy.
Mm-hmm.
We are definitely not going to bust his balls. The story is this. The guy's got a piano, and he knows every song.
Wow.
Apparently, you just throw out the titles, and he can play any song.
Cool.
Now, within reason. I mean, you can't say, you know, Led Zeppelin 4, side 2, track 3.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you want to throw out... And I've also been told that you don't have to keep it as broad as, like, to say, you know, just the biggest songs of all time.
Mm-hmm. It can be really obscure with the guy?
The guy has in his head 5,000 songs.
Do you think he'd know that Pacific whatever? That Pacific Railway Gas Electric Company?
Oh, are you ready? No, he would not know
probably
that.
Probably not.
Like,
right.
What? It was a freaking top 10 record.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard it. I was reacting very positively to
it. And I played it on the show before as a rejoiner.
It was fun. It was big fun.
Maybe he would know it.
Okay, we ought to test him on that.
Maybe he'd know it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Maybe we could ask one of your waitresses about
it. Okay, all right. Okay, please.
One of your fully clad waitresses.
Thank you. Thank you very much. God, you are so evil.
Not evil.
You are.
Not evil.
You are so evil.
This
is just like Erasing the D, man. That's what this is. Ask him and he's just, you're just great. You're dying. You're dying. You're chomping. You're salivating. Just chomping at it, you know? You know? All right, you know what? From now on, in written form, a handwritten letter.
Okay.
That's what I'll do.
Okay.
Slide it under your door.
No, Mike, we don't have to nearly get it. You don't have to slide it under the door. It's right on my desk. It's fine.
Okay, very good.
Not under the door. All right, well, listen, the piano guy.
Yes.
The Rain Man piano guy who can tell us any song. Okay, see, now you kind of...
No, and see, what you do is now you make me just want to do it myself. That's the magic of the partnership, you know?
Let me just say, I don't think there's any problem with anybody. If you're into the glory hole, it's Wednesday night glory hole night at O'Mara's.
God. Hi, Mom. It'll be fantastic.
That's worse than the other?
You know what? My head's spinning right now. I don't know.
How about if I go back to green card night?
Green card, yeah. That
work okay?
They're so hard to choose from.
Uh-huh. All the great promotions?
They're all so hard to choose from. But I do file it all under, you know, that any pub is good pub.
Right.
I truly do. I think,
you're
I mean, if I didn't think it was positive, you know.
Right.
It's got to be. At least that's what I'm counting on. That's what I'm counting on.
Don't forget, it's toenail night tonight.
Oh, no.
Find a toenail in a little Mikey burger. And your next margarita is 25% off.
Yes.
That's fair.
Very exciting.
Come on. I'm kidding.
Very, very exciting.
I am kidding. Okay, the piano guy.
Yeah.
So we're ready with him when we come back. And we're pretty sure that the beautiful woman's going to be ready today, too.
Got the confirmation.
Okay, fantastic. It'll either be great or heartbreaking. The next hour of the show will either be great or heartbreaking. And incidentally, how are we getting through this show? Joe has been gone an hour and a half.
Oh, my God.
Oh, he left? In a town car.
I forgot.
Drinking Miller Lite on his way to Baltimore to go to a Stones concert with one of our listeners.
No.
We'll check with him also. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Me? That's why the bosses sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed the joint. Like these two f***ing balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 f***ing grand. Yeah, right, I'm sure.
The Don and Mike Show.
It's a nice piano player.
Yeah.
It's time to make Stinky with Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Dedicate this one to Michael Hughes. We'll get to our guests in a moment, everybody.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Oh,
you're listening to Soul Radio. This is Brother Donnie with you. Almost a TGIF. Pump day. Michael Hughes, you son of a bitch.
What they do? They
smile
in your face.
Oh, yeah. Quiet Storm.
It's a song about dishonesty.
Send that out to Michael Hughes.
Hello.
Bet all your teeth didn't get knocked out during your recent dental surgery.
Enjoy your glass of warm wine.
You're on a Quiet Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Quincy coming up, along with some Nora Jones. All that boring crap they play on the smooth jazz station. And once again, Stevie Wonder. I just called to say I love you, which no way is effing jazz.
but it doesn't matter.
Here we go. Now, let's talk music. Here is David Syme. Hey, David.
Hey.
Hi, David. How are you?
Fine. Good to be on with you.
Now, Dave is the Human Jukebox.
I love this.
Wow. He has a website, www.symepiano.com. And the deal is that you went to the Juilliard Institute. And you have how many songs in your memory?
Well, I don't claim to know everything, but I know about 5,000 songs.
Wow.
I'm an actively touring concert pianist with the heart of a saloon player, and I love to play your favorite songs.
Now, when you say you know 5,000, we're talking melodies, right? We're not necessarily talking lyrics.
Yeah, just melodies, and they're all songs that the average person would recognize. I don't claim to be encyclopedic.
Okay, so you don't go deep into the obscure songs that most people might not know.
Well, then obvious songs.
Then off the top of our, if you don't mind, Mike and I would love to start with you. Now, it says on your press release that we got from Bach to Bachman Turner Overdrive. Hmm. So may I ask that you start with, You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. All right, how about, then to give you a softball, Taking Care of Business.
Okay.
All right, he got that one. Hey, dude.
he's rocking.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all right,
Mike.
Ready? Flight of the Bumblebee.
We'll go around the room a couple of times with this.
He's not only playing it, he's playing the hell out of it.
You ready to play Buzz?
I think so.
David?
Yeah.
Okay, that's right. And that's how we'll do it, too, when we want to get him to stop. David!
All right. Buzz.
Elton John, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting.
Okay.
Rob.
How about Freebird?
This is a blast. You know the only thing that's missing right now?
What?
The piano bar.
Exactly.
Hold on, my turn. David.
Yeah.
David.
Yeah.
The Wedding Song.
Let's see.
I hate that song. Okay, David, that's enough. Mike.
Billy Joel's Angry Young Man.
Good one.
My favorite piano that he does.
Great.
He did the good part.
All right, David.
Yeah.
Buzz.
Jethro Tull's Aqualung.
I don't know it.
Ah,
oh,
okay.
You got one, Buzz.
Rob.
How about Great Balls of Fire?
David.
Yeah.
Born Free.
What?
Born Free.
Born Free.
I think we're doing a really good job with balance.
David.
Yeah.
Mike.
Team from 2001.
Is it Space Odyssey?
Yes. Yes. David.
Yeah.
Buzz.
This is a blast.
Elvis, Are You Lonesome Tonight?
We are doing a good job with the balance here.
Rob.
David.
Yeah.
Light classical. The Saber Dance.
What?
You'll know it. You'll know it.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
You'll recognize it when you hear it.
Also known as...
Now, if we give you a couple of notes of it, will you get it?
You know, I really do know this one. I'm just...
Is it the...
I
just need a little shove.
All right, David. Sunday Bloody Sunday.
Don't know it.
Oh, by you too.
Where the Streets Have No Name.
What's that?
Where the Streets Have No Name.
Sorry, don't know it.
Oh,
you too.
Hit me,
older.
Hit me, baby, one more time.
Is that Captain and Tennille?
It's Britney Spears. But I'll settle for Love Will Keep Us Together.
Yeah.
David.
Yeah.
Mike.
Something for the kids. The Itsy Bitsy Spider.
David.
Yeah.
Buzz.
Bad, bad Leroy Brown.
Oh, God.
Rob.
David.
Yeah.
Everybody loves somebody sometime.
Oh, let's go to the couch.
David.
Yeah.
I can't smile without you. She got a big fag. He's not real good at the rock.
I'm trying to get a rock song.
I'll give him a Beatles one. Can I do it real fast?
Go ahead.
David.
Yeah.
Hey, Jude. Okay, David.
Yeah.
Mike.
All right, here we go. The Stairway to Heaven.
Nice.
Okay, David.
God, you're not even letting me play any of these.
No, that's what's making it fun, and I hope you're having as much fun as we are.
We recognize the songs immediately. Buzz.
A Beach Boys. Fun, fun, fun.
Okay. Okay, you want a little or a lot of it?
Just a little of everything.
Little
your
of
favorite
everything.
Part.
Yeah. David.
Yeah.
Rob.
A real rockin' version of Girl from Ipanema.
Okay.
Ha, 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 ha. Dave. Dave.
Yeah.
Staying Alive. We can only do this to this guy like for another minute. Dave.
Yeah?
Mike, you're almost done. Mike.
Earth, Wind, and Fire, September.
Don't know it.
Oh! Earth, Wind, and Fire, That's the Way of the World.
Don't know it.
Got to Get You Into My Life.
Oh, yeah.
Dave.
Yeah.
To Dream the Impossible Dream.
Very good classic.
Dave.
Yeah.
Buzz.
Color My World.
Oh. Why don't you do a little voiceover like you were doing before?
Yeah.
And we've lived and we've loved. You know, that kind of thing.
Go ahead, Don. Talk about it.
I'd be glad to right now. I want to see right now. We've got a guy on the telephone named David Sign. As far as I know, he's in a home full of Spam hot dogs that he's dipped in some type of apple pancake sauce. I went there earlier today. I was nearly bowled over by the smell of up to 800 dead cats. Yet, when I met David, he said, "Have you seen Cats? I know all of the songs." Here he is now. Oh, well, I mean,
I think you walked it a little bit, didn't you?
A little bit, because I got into it.
It was hard to tell. Oh, this guy's fantastic.
David,
yeah.
What is... Now, it's obvious you have this talent.
Yeah.
What do you do with this talent besides being on a cruise ship? I mean,
I play concerts internationally. I'm playing in the Czech Republic, Rhapsody in Blue. On
play some of that. Will you play some of that? Play just a little bit. That's one of my favorites.
Nice.
You know, I hate the fact that people know it from United Airlines.
Yeah. Let's stop. Now it's like we're on hold of the doctor's office.
He's David. Into it.
Yeah.
David.
Your call is important to David.
David.
Please stay on the line. And David will be with you shortly.
David.
David.
Yep. David. Okay.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I mean, we're going to give you a round of applause. David.
Symphonies, and I play for conventions, and when I'm home, I do these radio shows to sell my CDs.
Oh, fantastic.
What I do.
Well, we will have a link to your website on ours, and we hope you sell some CDs. It's SymePiano, SymePiano.com.
Thank you.
Pretty good. You got almost all of them that we had for you.
I have one question for you, David. Have you ever done a show where you just go into a hall, or you play in some saloon, or where people just shout out stuff and you just do it that way?
At my informal type concerts, I usually, like on the second half, I give about 15 minutes to that, where I make a list of everyone's songs that they shout from the audience and then do a medley of those.
Oh, cool. That's just fantastic.
I'm sure you guys have been married and divorced. I'll play at one of your weddings next time you try.
Thank you. I'll take you up on that.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
Hey, thanks a lot, man.
Bye-bye.
That's
great. Well, not many goose eggs up on the board.
No, he did well.
You were right, Don. He had to skew a little older, though.
Everybody's calling to bitch, saying they all wanted to play the game. Well, listen, go get your own radio show and find this guy, and you can play the game with him.
I know everybody wants to hear their song.
Although it did say right on the press release, hello, Don and Mike, it said from Bach to BTO.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I throw out
love you. I mean, you stumped him with that BTO right out of the
box. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Baby, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, you should ask this guy if he knows Has-Been from William Shatner.
Okay, again.
You know we're going to get a million of those.
Too obscure. Too obscure.
That would not be something that he would even know. But
great album, though.
How about Us?
Yeah.
No Shots Fired.
No. Pretty darn good. We showed great restraint.
Don and Mike, hello.
Center of force, as a matter of fact. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, I wanted to talk to Don.
Okay. We'll see right away. The guy doesn't know he's on the air, so I'll use him as an example.
Oh, good. My goodness.
Now,
what are you going to be doing?
I based this on the great bit of tape that I saw recently of those upstanding officers in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there certainly is no reason to take out your gun and just shoot a guy.
You just want to rough him up a little bit?
You can rough him up. Right. So
teach him a lesson.
Mm-hmm. So if we get someone who we don't really want to shoot...
But doesn't know they're on the air...
We will just attack them with the telephone.
I like that. Right off the forehead.
Yeah. And there you go. And he's out of there.
That'll leave a mark. Take him to school.
And he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone.
And he's gone.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
You should have asked for a Chuck Mangione's Tijuana Taxi.
Can I have the gun?
Pearl of Albert's Tijuana Taxi, even better.
You should have asked for a clue.
Mike?
Yes?
Who was going to try to save bullets today?
I'm sorry. I know. I just... It was too much fun.
I'm Don and Mike Show.
Hi. I was going to see if I could get that guy to play Chariots of Fire. If he knows Chariots of Fire.
Now, do you want the gun back?
No, I don't, because I've got some restraint.
Okay, you going to throw the phone at him?
Oh.
Yeah, that's restraint.
You're going to need stitches.
Charlie, you know, you can kill a guy. Charlie, you popped his eye out.
Hello, don't make me be a bad guy. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don, this is Tarso. I just love this segment on David the piano player. And by the way, you guys...
Oh, excuse me. What was that magician's name that you had up front? What was that?
Didn't he tell you this is Parso?
This is Parso. Magnificent. This, what is your name?
It's Parso.
P as in Paul, A-R-S-O?
Actually, T-A-R-S-O. Tarso. Tarzan the Monkey Man.
We're Tarso.
Tarso. The amazing Tarso.
Is that a given name or a nickname?
Tarso.
That's my real name.
Uh-huh. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations. Well, what's up, Tardo?
Tarso.
Lucky.
Now, listen, the segment you just had with the piano...
Yes, player, Tardo.
That was awesome, man. I was on a cruise this past year... And while every other dumbass was on the karaoke thing, I sat at the piano bar and listened to this Greek piano player who was just awesome. I sip port and smoke cigars for half the night just listening to this guy. They had a game going on I had to guess the song.
Hey, can we just stop for 1 second?
Yeah, sure.
Because I want you to contemplate this.
Okay.
Very little I care about anything you've said. And it's only because you seem to be a nice guy that I'm not going to shoot you.
There, he's gone. It's a shame. I wanted to hear if the Greek guy took him back to his suite.
Hello. Don is Mike Show.
Oh,
some hot finger action. Hello.
Yeah,
of course, I meant chicken fingers. They ordered room service.
That was delicious.
That was wonderful in the piano bar this evening. Do you play the eye?
Hello.
Yeah. You know, in spirit of this weekend, you should have had him play Super Bowl is Gay.
Okay, see, we'll spare you.
Go in peace.
Go in peace.
Yours in Christ. I love Don and Mike.
Hey, Don, I just wondered if there's any coincidence to the fact that you stopped wearing your wedding ring on Beth Ann's birthday.
Oh, the secret
Who
is
even
out.
Know? It really is today her birthday?
We didn't think you knew.
This really? How the hell did you know it's her birthday?
I'm her secret admirer.
The big 6-0.
Oh.
Yeah.
How are you getting along without her? Seems to me to be a legitimate reason to call her.
She's in the wheel. She's in the wheel, but we have another beautiful lady that's coming on the show at our next break.
That's right.
I mean, we do have the wheel of family and friends, and perhaps Beth Ann's name will come up again.
You can call her anytime to say belated happy birthday.
Sure, I can. All right, you know what? Even better. How about it? We'll just have this creep call her. Hold on a second. If we get her voicemail, you can just leave her a message. Okay, because I'm pretty sure, I know she should be on the air now. So most likely she will not answer the cell.
Maybe she's doing an Osgood segment.
Hey, hold on, the guy just hung up.
He was a creep
the
anyway.
The guy just hung up.
Does anybody have any, what, is it her birthday?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Hey, this is Beth Ann. Thanks for calling.
Who cares?
Your name and your number, and I'll try to give you a call back. Thank you.
All right, you leave the
to
message.
To record a message, press 1, or stay on the line.
Hello, Rob.
Hi, Beth Ann.
Oh, hold on, Rob.
Hi, Beth Ann. It's Paul Gorgie, and I've got some free time on my hands, and I was wondering if I mightn't come down and celebrate your birthday with you. Happy birthday. Let's have some cake. Bye.
We heard it was your birthday, Beth Ann.
Some guy called and said it was your birthday.
And we don't know if it's true or not.
You say it's your birthday? It's my birthday, too, yeah.
Hope everything's going well. Don?
Rob's driving me crazy. But remember, once the door closes, it never opens again. You'll never be invited back to this show. We love you and miss you. Happy birthday.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
And there you go. Very good.
Who knows if it's the girl's birthday or not, but happy 38th.
If it's not, she'll look puzzled. If it is, she'll get that message and have a good cry.
She sent me a nice email last night about the State of the Union, so she's still, you know, the same.
Mm-hmm.
She's at work all the time.
That's right.
Same old Beth Ann McBride.
Right.
And another beautiful lady that's come into our lives and gone and come back and gone, Jim Nance.
Yep, she says she's going to be available.
From CBS. Even though he is not calling the Super Bowl this year, he's incredibly busy, and he's got a couple of minutes to work us in. She. She.
She's going to really be on the show?
That's what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
In our next break. Hello, Don and Mike. So we got to hear the spot here. Hello.
Radio gods.
Hi there.
Hey, are you going to be talking to your buddy Terry Bradshaw anytime soon?
Tomorrow it's John Madden. Friday it's JB, James Brown, uh-huh. And we hope Terry Bradshaw, who wants to promote his movie. Yes.
Little tidbit for you. Here's another reason why he is the best salesman in the world.
Okay. Beyond his errands commercials?
Mm-hmm. No, this is the one. He is absolutely, you need to crown him best salesman in the world. I just heard him do a radio ad for Supercuts.
Supercuts. Well, now, keep it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you need to talk
Supercuts.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. You know what? Thank you. You're not getting shot at?
Right.
You're not getting anything thrown at you?
Terry Bradshaw for Supercuts.
Thank you.
Love you guys.
Bye-bye. Thank you for the call.
I see
bye-bye.
He's in and out of that chair in like 6 minutes.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Might as well be him and Hasselbeck. Have you seen Hasselbeck, incidentally?
Yes.
The number one topic with this guy, the quarterback for Seattle, uh-huh. is the fact that he's bald.
Yeah.
And even when he's answering questions about football and stuff, it keeps coming back to the fact that he is really bald, and he's got just the tiniest bit of a lisp.
Well, I was looking for I thought there was a picture of him in the paper today.
And I was watching something on the NFL channel today, mm-hmm. where they were showing the press conferences. And he said, well, I feel so much better this year because Coach Holmgren has finally allowed me the opportunity to call audibles at the line. I hadn't had that opportunity. And then they cut to a tape.
Be sweet.
They cut to a tape of the big fat walrus, Mike Holmgren. Mm-hmm. And listen what a freaking control freak this guy is. He said, well, Matt was speaking a little bit out of school that technically for the 5 years he's been the quarterback,
mm-hmm.
he has been allowed to call an audible on any play he wants. It's just here's the simple rule that I have. I'm the coach. Now, this is exactly what Mike Holmgren said this press conference. I'm the coach and I call the plays. I think I've called the right play. So I tell him, you can change the play. But if the play that you call doesn't work, mm-hmm. you're going on the bench.
Mm-hmm. It's that simple.
So you run. So now that...
How many
that,
audibles would you call?
Now that they've had 5 years of this relationship,
great.
Where he can call an audible at any time, mm-hmm. but if the play fails, he's screwed because Holmgren always calls the right plays.
Mm-hmm.
So Holmgren says now he's got such confidence in him, he has two audibles. He is allowed a run,
right,
and a pass.
That's it.
But he can, in fact, make an audible call at the line.
I understand that if he calls more than that, Holmgren will eat him.
Oh, no.
And there's a picture of him on the cover of the USA Today with the backwards hat on, so he's not showing that bald dome.
What you got to do is really get a good shot of the guy who's just balder mm-hmm. than bald.
I wonder if there's anything to do with the helmets.
I don't know.
So many quarterbacks are bald.
Excuse me. I hear it's not. There's no connection between, say, wearing a hat and going bald.
Okay.
But I don't know. I'm still.
He goes back as far as Y.A. Tittle.
Uno momento. Hello. Now, why is Joe just calling in on his own here? You know,
reporting drunk.
We're going to call Joe in just a moment. Hello, Joe.
Hello.
Are you drunk yet?
Yeah, we're in Lost Baltimore.
You're in what?
Where? We're in Lost Baltimore. You know, like Los Angeles and Las Vegas, this is Los Angeles.
He is X-Space. Okay. Listen, we have to break just in case Jim Nance calls on time. We'll call you right back.
Hey, Mike?
Yes, Joe.
Where's Charlie?
Wow.
Bye, Joe.
Wow.
That's Joe on his way to the Stones concert in the town car.
And we mean on his way.
He'll be there tonight in Baltimore with one of our listeners.
Right.
Going to see his favorite band, the Stones. We'll have the tape on tomorrow's show.
Fantastic.
And Joe sounds like he's into it.
I say he pukes before the opening band's done.
All right, we'll be back and we'll see if Nancy's and if not Joe. We'll be right back.
It's the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
A bitter cold night. The Giants, with a victory against the Eagles tonight, could reduce the edge to a half a game. I'm not on camera now. We're in Philadelphia at Franklin Field. The score, the New York Football Giants 13, the Philadelphia Eagles 9.
The Don and Mike Show. Nightmarishly elastic, the Don and Mike Show.
Much as we would like to call Joe and talk to him on his way to the Stones concert in Baltimore tonight, somebody
much more important,
standing by, called in. That's right.
Mr. CBS.
Not doing the Super Bowl this year, but certainly welcome to talk about it. Here now is Nancy. Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. Hey,
everybody.
There he is.
Hey, guys.
There we are. There's so much happening on that. All that pre-production stuff. You got Howard Cosell in there trying to save Philadelphia.
Huh? Hey, guys.
Famous broadcast, Jim.
Very famous.
And hold on, everybody. Jim Nance. If I could just embarrass you for a second.
Well, what would make that any different than any other time I've been on your show?
Howard Cosell, a class act, of course.
Of course, a hero of mine.
Did you or did you not recently win the Sportscaster of the Year Award?
Let's give him a round of applause.
Yeah. Did you?
He's
did
too modest to brag about it.
Winner. Come on now, didn't you?
I did.
Winner!
Thank you for that. What's on your mind today?
Well, we just wanted to congratulate you for that because, you know, you mean a lot to us.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Mike. And maybe you guys will come down to Salisbury, North Carolina for the May 1st festivities when Steve Rushen from Sports Illustrated is saluted as the National Sports Writer of the Year and Phil Rizzuto gets the Hall of Fame recognition.
Jim, now listen, you're in the Super Bowl rotation. CBS gets the game every couple of years.
Every third.
So this year, do you feel left out? Are you jonesing for the football now?
You know, honestly, I don't have much to complain about. We get to do 20 games a year, the best game each week on the CBS television network. And that goes right through the AFC Championship game we called 10 days ago, Pittsburgh at Denver. And, you know, I love the season, and I understand what the rules are. We get it next year. We'll be down in Miami.
Right. You glad to be doing the golf again?
You know, I am. I'm a little fatigued from the football season that had me traversing the country the last 6 weeks back and forth, mostly on the West Coast, and a few other odds and ends and tapings in between that have pretty much kept me intact on just a road schedule these days. But, you know, this Super Bowl, I look forward to watching it as a fan. I'm sure I'd love to be there calling it, but we'll get our chance next year.
Yes, you will. Now, what do you think about the rumors that Al Michaels wants to go to be with Madden and that other people are going to get Monday Night Football? Are you privy to any of those rumors?
I'm not privy to any of it, and, you know, I don't know what to say about it. Al is, in my mind, I mean, he's just the best play-by-play announcer there is, and I have a great regard for him, and, you know, he is, from what I understand, under contract ESPN. When they take over the Monday night package next year, of course, that means he won't be calling if he does, in fact, stay with ESPN, which I assume he would. They have no playoff games under that package, not even a wild card game, so that's probably pretty hard for a guy like Al, who has called so many big events and Super Bowls, to know that this could, in fact, Sunday be the last time he ever calls a Super Bowl.
He's a class act.
He is, and he's an incredible announcer, and I love sitting back watching and listening to how he puts a game broadcast.
Now, Jimmy, come on.
We'll be
come
doing
on,
that
be honest,
as soon
Jimmy.
As we get off the air with the Phoenix Open.
Nancy. That's right. Okay.
Let's I got a little promo in there for you, boys.
Let's get the plug in for CBS.
CBS.
America's number one network. Jim, how do you feel about the fact I know you don't watch the competition. You watch the Super Bowl this weekend. But since you've gone so over-the-top crazy about the CBS America's Most Watched Network.
Mm-hmm.
Have
I've
you
done
noticed?
That all on my own, too, by the way.
Yes, I know.
I've just decided every time I give a promo on, you know,
here's
why not
deal.
Remind people we're America's
here's
number one network?
Right? Listen, Nancy, I know that they all have to read the cards. You sell the cards.
Mm-hmm.
You sell
nobody
them.
Does it like you do. I mean, really, nobody. Does. You know, you make a joke that obviously they tell you when to read them and they put them in front of you.
Right.
But you know what? You make them your own, Jim.
And now I'm getting to a compliment here. I think because of the way you sell this, and I know you don't like talking about the competition and bad-mouthing the competition.
Right.
But I noticed that Fox started running stuff saying, don't forget this game is on this weekend on Fox. This week, America's Most Watched Football Network. And they really did say, this week.
And then said qualified it with football?
America's yeah. Most Watched Football Network.
Mm-hmm.
And then, after the Steelers game,
yeah.
After the championship game, I see CBS comes on with a promo that says, the Steelers-Denver game was the highest-rated game of the year. There is no doubt. It's like Les Moonves is King Kong on top of a building. Just like a...
Watch the NFL on CBS than any other network. That is true.
There we go.
Otherwise, I couldn't say it.
That's right. Absolutely.
But I did notice that. I did notice that Fox yeah. was spouting off about something. Yes.
Jim, let's do a very quick check.
Okay.
Let's get off the topic of football.
You're going to hit me up with the lineup, aren't you?
Jim, I got a wild card for you tonight.
What night is tonight? Wednesday night?
No,
Wednesday.
No. Just tell me something. Still standing. Is it a new episode or a repeat? We're not in sweeps yet.
Boy, that's a good one. This would be about the time where you could burn off a repeat before you come on with the new stuff. I'm going to go repeat tonight on Still Standing.
Hold on now. I'm not. Before I tell you if you're right or wrong, it's like we're going to play Let's Make a Deal.
Mm-hmm.
You have Still Standing and Yes, Dear. One of those shows is new and one is a repeat.
You're giving Jim a choice. The pressure's on, Jim.
Now, wait, you said the other one's Yes, Dear?
Yes, Dear's the other, and Still Standing.
Still Standing. One of them is...
One of my favorite all-time shows.
Now you can...
Particularly since they wrote a show around me 2 years ago.
Sure.
Started, you remember that one, of course.
You can stay with your original guess of Still Standing.
Well, here's what you
and
do.
And walk away with that,
dear.
Brand.
Normally...
Hey, God.
No, let's see. Yes, Dear is okay. I'll tell you what I'm thinking here. I'm thinking tonight, new episode, Yes, Dear, repeat, Still Standing.
Jim Nance, it's a brand new Buick.
You guys are funny.
Yes, sir.
There he is.
And you guys are funny.
There he is, everybody.
That's why I am the guy that sells the number one network.
Right. I like what you just said. You mind if I maybe stole that?
Well, that's from Yes, Dear, isn't it? That's tape from Yes, Dear.
Where's the other one where he says...
Can I hear it again? I'm not sure.
Where's the one where he says I'm Jim Nance?
I don't know.
Oh, hold on. Here we go.
You go with me. I've got a plane.
Well, that's one. Here's one.
Absolutely.
Here he is again.
How about after we get finished with the broadcast, you come with me to the CBS party?
Is that the episode, Jim?
Well, you know, the lines were a little bit... You sound like you sped him up or something.
How about you come to the game with me?
Speak.
Sit on the CBS set, the Superdome. I'll take good care of it. Best seats in the house.
What about my guys? Where are they in this?
My guys.
I like what you just said. Do you mind if I maybe stole that and use that on the broadcast?
We isolated just your voice. We don't care about your
Jim,
voice.
You should know by now. We don't care about the others.
Here we go. Here is the definitive tape of Jim Nance on Yes, Dear.
Jim Nance is on fire today!
Actually, it wasn't Jim, it was somebody else, but still.
Jim Nance is on fire today!
Now, are you in Detroit, Jim?
No, it's not. No. I'm in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Oh, that's right, getting ready for the tournament.
Yes, right. We're here in the beautiful sunshine of the deserts of Arizona. It is beautiful here.
Now, wow. See, I love it. You almost gave us a little. You almost gave, you know, I know Don loves the football. I love the golf. You almost gave us a little of that picture painting you do so
gave
well.
A little scene set here. Desert.
At Butler Cabin. Lanny, tonight, you and I at Butler Cabin.
I love it.
Lanny, you're a strong handshake.
Oh, nobody describes Torrey Pines better.
You were watching.
I was indeed.
We had quite an event last week with Tiger winning.
Not a bad tournament to start the season off with, Jim.
Did a monster rating on America's number one network.
Of course.
And then we had SWAT. We'll be here at the, what is, actually instead of the Phoenix Open, is the FBR Open.
Mm-hmm.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt?
What's that?
Is it Franklin Delano Roosevelt?
The Freedman Billings Ramsey.
You're all over it, actually. Yeah. It's a company based right back there where you guys are from.
Yeah.
I tell you what, that Tiger Woods, though.
He's good guys, too.
Tiger Woods is a class act.
Yes, he is.
Jimmy, I've just been handed this. I bet that I didn't know this. Mike, I bet you didn't know this.
Okay. Bulletin?
Did you know? Yes. Hold on a second. There's a video game called Golden Tee.
Oh, yeah.
2006. And our own Jimmy Nance.
Jim Nance is on fire today.
Are you the voice of Golden Tee now?
I'm the host.
Oh, wow. My God.
Rightly
so. Do you hear that, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah,
that is the sound of one man's
great pride. Do you know that?
Virtual Nancy.
Golden Tee is the number one arcade game in the world.
Oh, yeah. That sound you hear is the sound of...
No, I'm not embellishing. You know how, you know, Don used to play Ms. Pac-Man all the time?
Yeah,
it had
about
a nice 10-year run as the number one arcade game in the world. Right now, it's Golden Tee.
And Peter Jacobson was doing that before,
he
right?
He is my analyst, but, you know, you go buy a Golden Tee arcade, and you'll see... You'll see me up there plastered on the top of that thing, and I actually will call every shot.
Oh, that is very cool.
It's all narrated. We've got some scene sets for you, too, Mike, the ones you like.
Oh, wow. We've
got a variety of courses you can play.
I love it.
My concern, Jim, was that the T would be replaced with the letter P.
Mm-hmm. No, say, now, no,
no,
no, of
way
course
Jim,
not.
Jim Vance would be a
no,
Jim,
no.
Jim Vance.
No.
Jim Vance would be involved
no,
with that.
No, not at all.
Didn't say that.
Now, no. Jim, is it not true you also host Dance Dance Revolution?
I've done that now, five of the last 6 years?
Incredible.
Wow. No. What are you talking about?
Where do you make
that's
time?
That's a video game. That's a video game.
No, I don't do that.
Jimmy, Nancy, listen, really, who do you like in the game this
week?
You
want to talk about the other things I endorse?
Well,
some of my sponsors are feeling a little left out right now.
Well, all I know is the Golden Tee, from what I've read about that particular arcade game, that's the sound of your wallet fattening if you got involved
Thank
in
you.
That, Jim.
I do encourage you to go play. It is so much fun, folks.
Congratulations.
Okay.
You know, every once in a while, which of those movies, is it Happy Gilmore that you're in?
Tin Cup, the real legitimate golf movie.
I'm sorry.
The goofy one.
I know it's a golf movie. Uh-huh.
Yeah, always thought on Tin Cup, Jim, to capture the real feel, they could have gotten a few more extras in that particular movie.
You mean you didn't think there was enough gallery? There?
No, I didn't think there was enough gallery. Didn't think it looked
good.
We
had over 1,000 people out there a day as extras.
1,000.
You were also great in Soul Plane. I loved doing that. Jim, seriously, here we go now. Come on, please tell us.
You're saying, let's be serious. Okay, let's try.
Who do you like in
like
the Super
you.
Bowl? who do you
like?
I
like you a lot.
And I like you too, Jimmy.
I like you a lot, Don.
I like you too, Nancy. Who do you like to win the Super Bowl?
He's thinking, ladies and gentlemen.
Remind me again who's playing.
Okay.
Here's how I feel about this, okay? I'm going to guess that you guys are Pittsburgh, am I right?
Mm. We're really not decided yet.
Yeah, and I'm just noticing there's too much play on the Steelers. I think this is such an even matchup that just to have a standout pick. Now, listen, my heart would be with Pittsburgh because they're out of the AFC. CBS is the AFC network. CBS is America's number one network.
And it all ties together.
And I would love to see the Steelers win the game for selfish reasons. But I'm going to pick Seattle 24, Pittsburgh 24.
Wow.
That's
a gutsy pick we got from Jim Nance.
He is
save
going
the
against.
Tape.
Save the
Steelers. Go down by one.
Now
Seattle, you're Super Bowl 40 champions.
What if that gets back?
I'll come on Monday, so we can just play this tape back.
Well, you're standing, but you feel strongly about this pick.
I don't feel strongly about it. No.
All right, Jimmy.
I'm glad that I sound so convincing, but no, I don't feel strongly about it. I think there's a good chance Pittsburgh's going to win the game.
Okay, very good.
I'm doing one of those standout picks because everybody else is picking Pittsburgh.
And, right. And finally, what is the golf you're doing this weekend?
It's that FBR Open here.
In Phoenix, Arizona.
I wanted a real plug. I mean, what time? It's not on the same time as the game, obviously.
No, in fact, it'll be over unless there's a playoff. It will be on 3 to 6 Eastern time. Saturday and Sunday on CBS, America's most watched network.
Okay. We'll be watching you on the golf.
You guys are turning me into nothing but a promo machine out here.
Nobody does it better.
That's what you are, Jimmy. And when do you start doing the basketball, then?
A couple of weeks away. Are you guys in Detroit right now?
No, we're not doing the Super Bowl broadcast.
We are not.
No.
Here's the thing. We used to go to the Super Bowl every year, but then we had a friend, and okay. it was in his hometown.
Yes.
And
it really soured us on the whole experience.
Yeah. Let me just tell you about this guy. He's such a swinging dick that he's got tickets. He's got season tickets for the Houston Texans,
mm-hmm.
and he's never been.
Yes. He's a powerful man.
He's too busy.
Mm-hmm.
It's all
about supporting a community, I would suspect.
He was too busy to see us in his hometown.
I remember that. It hurts so bad that maybe, you know, 2-3 years down the road we'll go back, but now we're still sad.
Now we're going.
I strongly urge you to work Miami into the Super Bowl rotation next year.
Oh, is that where it is, Miami next
Miami.
Year?
Miami.
I think we will see you, Jimmy.
Raise a stone crab claw in the air and have a toast.
Miami's a good city for that game.
Right, it is. We'll be there.
Nancy, seriously, thank you very much for your prediction. Thank you for your time. It's always great talking to you. And let's talk again like Final Four time.
Or right before the tournament begins so I can give you my Final Four picks before the tournament starts.
Fantastic, Jim.
All right.
Thank you, Jim Nance.
Thanks, guys. Seriously, okay. Thank you very much. Thanks, we'll talk guys. Soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Jim Nance, class act.
It gets better. It gets better with him every time we have him on the show.
I agree.
And with the musical background, it's just terrific.
He had no idea how many times. I must have said class act five times. And every time it was like, uh-huh. Now, of course, he couldn't hear the music.
Right.
I mean,
right.
He couldn't hear, like, and the songs that we were piping into the back.
Recap those for us, if you would.
Woman by John Lennon.
Right.
Lady by Kenny Rogers. She's a Lady by Tom Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hold on. Maybe that's Nancy calling back.
I think it was Melissa checking
in.
Very good.
Let me see. Lady by the Commodores.
Lady.
Three times a Lady by the Commodores. More Than a Woman by the Bee Gees.
Right.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
Verboten.
One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It's me.
He made it up.
Girls by the Beastie Boys. She's Always a Woman to Me by Billy Joel.
Right.
And Dancing Queen by ABBA.
Fantastic selection.
Very nice.
Just delightful. And wonderful music for the background.
Those are all class songs.
From a lady. Right. A piano guy would be able to play all of them.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, that's Nancy. And Buzz?
Yes.
Would you give me just one moment?
Oh, of course. Somebody we have to check in with.
Absolutely.
I know.
The guy that it was probably feeling no pain when he called before.
Let's see if he's still conscious.
Who knows?
Hello, Joe? Joe's in a limo on his way to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
See the Stones.
Or Lost Baltimore, as he called it.
Yes. Joe's in the official limo with the Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Northern Virginia. Hi, Joe. Northern
Hi.
Virginia Town Car and Limousine Service.
Mm-hmm.
Online at www.novalimos.net or at 703-739-9770. Are you in Baltimore yet?
Yeah, and ask for Solomon when you call the limo company.
Ask for Solomon. Solomon.
Where are you right now?
We're at a little bistro called the ESPN Zone.
Oh, you're hanging out before the concert.
Yeah, well, for now we are. We stopped at a hotel closer by the arena for, you know, a little break to get my drift. And there were a lot of Stones fans up here, so we came down to the Inner Harbor to have a couple of pops, and nobody's here.
Nobody's at the Inner Harbor?
Just like, you know, just a handful of people here at ESPN Zone.
Huh.
Okay, but
it's only 6 o'clock. So
the, right. The important part of this is you took the day off for this, and that you're there now. How many beers did you have on the way to Baltimore?
More than 6 and less than 12.
Okay. Attaboy.
Right, and you're gonna have a kick-ass tape for us tomorrow of you at the Stones concert with all your Stones friends.
I have the tape deck with me, so we are on the prowl.
Oh, fantastic,
all right.
Joe!
All right. Make magic, Joe.
Yeah, no worries.
Okay.
Is your friend?
Plus, we saw the buses for the Stones. So when we get done here, if nothing develops here, we're gonna go back and knock on those bus doors.
And are you with the listener right now that you're gonna be going to the concert with, or are you just with the guy from the limo company?
The listener.
How's the listener?
Oh yeah, the listener.
Are you having a good time with him?
Yeah.
Or more importantly, is he having a good time with you?
Are you having a good time, Doug?
I'm having a great time.
He's having a good time.
Hearing the dog fixes everything.
Yeah, he's tuned up after a few beers.
Oh, fantastic.
All
That's
right,
good.
Good. All right, well, then Joe will check back with you tomorrow.
Okay.
And I won't say drive safely because you're not driving.
No, you're right.
I'm not driving. Everything's cool. We're going to have a great time.
Okay, Joe.
All right, Joe.
Joe.
Hey, Mike?
Yes, Joe.
With Charlie.
Okay,
bye,
thanks
Joe. A lot.
Why do I feel I'll be checking police blotters in
Charlie,
the morning?
Charlie!
Hey, Buzz?
Yes?
What are your lead stories on news and comments tonight?
Tonight, the Army deepens its probe of gay soldiers. Your new car is trying to kill you. And the president takes a stand on manimals.
Oh, and I think we'll also play the maybe the Bush for Joe. We'll play the Bush marijuana song, and we come back from the State of the Union last night.
Joe's still on the line,
okay,
isn't he?
Okay, Joe.
Yes.
You want to stay tuned for news and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
You want to take us to break?
Is Budweiser over there?
Do you want to take us to break, Joe?
Oh yeah, Don and Mike Show, and go to break.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike,
3 FM. Making your trip on the outer, you're going to find an incident there. So over to the right shoulder, south on Green, and we'll have after Shirlington. Watch out for debris in the roadway. You'll find delays from the Pentagon. Looking for a new job? Check out the Washington Post job section this Sunday for thousands of up-to-date local job listings. The Washington Post, the local expert on local jobs. I'm Michelle Spears on the Don and Mike Show, from 1067 WJFK.
Robot.
Wait, Charlie!
How long have you been playing me?
Shut up, stupid!
Charlie!
Shut up! Shut up, stupid!
Charlie!
Yep, it's all about good timing.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And here we have a serious problem. America is addicted to marijuana, which is often imported from me and President Clinton.
Now, look here, George. I don't know what you take us for, but we're not fools, you know?
Now, listen to this. We will help all Americans on Medicare receive the marijuana they deserve.
What are you talking about, man? I don't do drugs.
America is addicted to marijuana.
Yes, George, have you thought of the commercial possibility?
It's through technology.
George, the country needs inventors like you.
Medicare would pay more than $100,000 to me and President Clinton.
Drugs are bad because if you do drugs, you're a hippie, and hippies
suck. Learn from our experience. America is addicted to marijuana.
Joe. Let's do drug identification exercise, okay?
Marijuana.
George, there's a war on, you know.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Coming up, Handsome Man recaps news in pleasing baritone. Stay tuned for this and more.
They are very well spoken, Don and Mike.
Oh. Hey, Dan, Tom. What news and comment?
Hey, hey, hey.
With the Izzy Burbank.
Izzy?
I've moved right to the eyes, Mike.
All right, to the eyes. All right, you go. You tackle it. You ready to tackle it, Ivan?
I am.
Ready, Ichabod?
Yes.
Here we go. It's News is brought to you.
Go for it, Iggy.
Cousin It. For News, it was Cousin It.
Right.
Brought to you by Frank's Red Hot Sauce. Original and Buffalo Wing flavors. Take your weekend football party from the Dull Zone of the flavors of raw authentic Buffalo Wings, Frank's Red Hot Sauce.
Oh.
Perfect balance of flavor and heat. And now here's Ian.
Hi, Don and Mike. That's a tricky one right there.
Or Ian.
I used to always say Ian. That Ziering
that
guy.
That jerk from Beverly Hills 90210 that we had on our old morning show.
He was almost in Stuart Scott territory. He really was. He was that difficult. Wasn't he, Ishmael?
Yes, yes, he was.
Hi, Donna, Mike. Two-thirds of Americans think we should start pulling our troops out of Iraq, so the president went on TV last night to say we shouldn't. The former Texas oil man told us we should break our addiction to foreign oil, a worthy goal that at this stage will never happen on his watch. These are the stories in the mainstream media today, with very little attention being paid to a couple of key points in Bush's latest State of the Union address, wood chips and manimals. The wood chips, along with weeds and corn, are all used to make ethanol, will help break our addiction to oil, he said. Who knew our future was in wood chips? That's news. Mm-hmm. So the president's declaration last night against cloning, especially the kind that creates life that is part human, part animal. 6 in 10 of us don't think the president's doing a very good job, perhaps
His dream of a manimal-free world fueled by wood chips will turn things around.
The Palestinian people have voted in elections.
The president...
Sorry, hold on, Buzz. I'm trying to find... I've got 8,000 different cuts.
A lot
I'm
of
trying to find,
states.
Like, your manimal stuff.
Manimals.
Keep going on.
Isn't that what, like, kids wear? Sleepwear?
No, that's...
That's Garanimals.
That's Garanimals.
And I'm trying to think it's what they used to call Randy White of the Dallas Cowboys.
The manimal.
Uh-huh. Half man, half animal.
Yeah, the manimal. There's a scientific name for it, but I prefer manimal.
Mm-hmm.
The president also defended his wildly unpopular and apparently illegal program to spy on Americans.
Oh, hold on, here you go. All right.
Oh, now. You have the manimal tape?
Yeah. No. About the spying.
Oh, good.
Our coalition has learned from our experience in Iraq.
Uh-huh.
We've adjusted our military tactics and changed our approach to reconstruct.
Hold on. Eavesdropping. God, I'm sorry. We've got like 8,000 goddamn tapes of this guy.
It is said that prior to the attacks of September the 11th, our government failed to connect the dots of the conspiracy. We now know that two of the hijackers in the United States placed telephone calls to Al-Qaeda operatives overseas. But we did not know about their plans until it was too late. Based on authority given to me by the Constitution by statute, I have authorized a terrorist surveillance program to aggressively pursue the international communications.
Is that what you're talking about, Buzz?
It's exactly.
No.
Is that Cheney or Denny Hastert in the background? President defiantly telling us in Congress that he believes he has the power and he'll continue to use it.
This bulletin just in.
Yeah.
This administration has failed to do it, and now we have an urgent duty. We should do it now. Do it well. If it feels good, do it. Duty. Everybody. Duty. Do our duty. Duty.
Very danceable.
It is.
AT&T, meanwhile, is being sued for its part in the domestic spying program.
Who are you mad at? A or T or T?
The second T.
Mm-hmm. That's the bad one.
Telegraph.
That one stands for trouble.
Mm-hmm.
AT&T is named as a co-defendant in a class action lawsuit accusing it of illegally cooperating with the government eavesdropping. The suit filed in federal district court yesterday accuses AT&T of opening its records, quote, to assist the government in its secret surveillance of millions of ordinary citizens. According to a spokesman for AT&T, we don't comment on matters of national security.
Hey, Buzz, you're technically savvy. You know about stuff like this.
I try.
Certainly more than I would.
Mm-hmm.
What are these ads that I keep seeing now? They look like an ad for DirecTV or satellite TV.
Right.
For AT&T.
Uh-huh.
And they show people having popcorn, watching satellite TV or whatever it is. And
right.
They show the big satellite dishes and they say, America wants more choices with TV.
Uh-huh.
At AT&T... we'd like to give you those choices.
The telegraph companies are trying to, the phone companies are trying to get into the cable business, telegraph. Well, it's AT&T, that's why I said that.
Right.
But they're trying to get into the business of cable TV. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get into the satellite cable TV. The guys like the AT&T Sprint, they want to provide your channels for you.
Because cable has gotten into the phone business. It started providing phone service, so they're now direct competitors. And that's what that's all about.
And who did I hear this morning refer to the internet phone company as Voyage? And then they correct
Vonage, yeah.
Now what's the correct
Vonage?
Vonage.
But they referred to it as Voyage, then came back and said, no, it's Voyage, then Voyage.
Uh-huh. And there's no Y in it at all, right?
No. I think it was Channel 5 this morning. I don't really remember the anchor. I know that the commercial, here's all I know about that phone service.
Right.
Whatever the song is, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's like... I mean, it almost makes me want...
You mean the...
It's pretty.
Almost makes me want to get internet phone service.
How many commercials that run on television, seriously, are for things I know nothing about? When you watch them,
and
when you actually watch the commercial and you come away from it, whether it's a drug company that doesn't identify what the drug is for,
right,
or whether it's an AT&T commercial, where they're so cryptic and they don't come out and they don't say what it is.
At least sometimes they still got that one that goes, is it D or whatever it is? They go, we don't make the camera, but we make the stuff that makes the camera.
BASF, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah. we don't make the tires in your car, but we make sure that they don't explode like when you turn your car on.
Or they'll come out like during, especially during a golf, when I'm watching golf on TV, it's for the big business and they come out.
Right.
We have solutions that can make your tomorrows more important. And I'm like,
what?
Yeah, that's scary.
What is it? Show me the French fries. In the daytime, you'll see like commercials for some outer space sounding product like Narniex,
mm-hmm.
and it shows an old woman in a floppy coat stretching, yeah, and that's it. Right. Then they warn me it can cause a dysfunction, and then that's it.
Yeah, I think it's all, they're trying to take us over.
If you needed to know, the government would tell you.
It's true. I just get confused. Why don't they make them simple like Easterns?
Right. There you go. There's someone we can get our hands around.
Right.
What is that spot for?
Your job's your credit.
Oh, that one.
Mm-hmm. LeVar Arrington.
Right.
The LA
entrepreneur.
Yeah, and songster.
Singing star.
Singing star.
Mm-hmm.
Star athlete. Very well spoken.
Absolutely.
Anyway, the LA Times quotes a source as saying the government has a direct hookup to AT&T's database, which hook stores up information on all domestic phone calls.
Hookup, that means make sex.
Yeah, it can. In one of its better uses.
Yeah, now. Ladies and gentlemen, you want some entertainment? LeVar Arrington. Well, she's got an intro on it, baby. Out here on Hot Hits 106.7. Starring Most Requested Song of the Day next to George Bush Doo-Doo Song. And next to the George Bush Marijuana Song. You called. We got all the calls from Elston High School today. They're the winning school. LeVar will be coming out there to do his concert for you.
And hey, Easterns, make that check out to Don and Mike.
Your job, your credit. You know, and here I was, like an idiot dick, like going like to Lindsay to buy my car.
Yeah, I know. Well, what were you thinking?
I don't, you know, what the hell's wrong with me?
I don't know. You just walk in there and say, you employed? You bet I am.
You know, how dumb am I? I went to Oarsman Chevrolet one time.
Silly.
But you always get your way.
Now we can do all the car commercials.
When we come back, an update on the gay paratroopers.
Oh, yes. Pull the cord.
Did their chutes not open?
No, the chutes were open.
Oh. I bet they were.
Thank you, Buzz. Okay, more news coming up.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know, a lot of shows come out of the gate big, but do you think this will last?
Totally. Everybody is talking about the show. It's huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's got buzz and all that, but it's also really good. So when people do show up, they see how great it is.
The Don and Mike Show. Drink their hair water. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
And now here's Kenny Burbank. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Don and Mike.
I moved right past Jay.
Up to the cave. Thank
Too
you.
Easy? Yeah. Jimmy, Johnny, Jack, Jerry, you know what I'm saying.
Time for the news, Newt. A new survey shows that nearly half the Iraqi people approve of the attacks on American troops. Public opinion polls matter more these days in Iraq now that it's a democracy. The 82nd Airborne Paratroopers, who allegedly appeared in gay internet porn, have been moved from their regular barracks at Fort Bragg to someplace more intimate.
Barracks is very close to buttocks.
In this case,
perhaps. You take an A out here and put a U in there.
Maybe that was the confusion.
You take an R out and put a T in.
A couple of R's replaced with a couple of T's.
Ford bag.
Army investigators, meanwhile, are going deeper with their probe of the soldiers for possibly violating the don't ask, don't tell, and for God's sake, don't show us policy for gays. The seven paratroopers were moved not for their safety, according to a spokeswoman, but for their privacy.
For gays.
No charges have been filed yet, but the guys who've shown that silk is not just for parachutes have been told they can get lawyers.
It's a homo.
How do I look in this?
Wonderful.
A former Walmart executive is going to prison and not for giving his everyday low prices. Former Walmart Vice President Tom Coughlin has confessed to stealing merchandise.
Tom Coughlin from the New York Giants?
The Commandant? No. This is a Walmart executive formerly.
Oh, all right.
Retailing, stealing merchandise, apparently, stealing money, stealing gift cards from the retail giant.
He's not double dipping, is he?
Did you even have an idea? Did you even
I've heard the name before.
Okay, Tom Coughlin.
Yeah, in the football context.
Kind of a famous, hard-ass, my way or the highway coach.
Ah. Currently coaching your New York football Giants.
I see.
This is a different guy.
Do you care?
Not so much.
Okay.
This Tom Coughlin got himself the money he stole.
Coughlin.
The merchandise.
Coughlin.
He got himself some snakeskin boots, some Bloody Mary mix, and some hunting trips to the tune of about $500,000.
Wow.
At age 57, Tom now faces up to 28 years in smiley face prison for lying on his tax return and several counts of wire fraud. But the former protege of Walmart founder Sam Walton won't have to give up his retirement agreement. He signed a deal with Sam in which they promised to never sue one another. So the company's lawsuit to void his retirement contract has been thrown out of court.
Hugs are great.
Will you?
Hugs are great.
He may be getting some.
I love working here at Walmart.
Will...
I'm the little animated cookie. And I'm the animated old man. Yes. Hugs are great. How do? Welcome to Walmart.
Look, there's our little Zorro smiling happy face thing.
Nice. Look at that. Detergent will knock another quarter off. Give me a hug. Hugs are great.
Will you be as fond of that new car smell once you know how toxic it is?
Yes.
That film on the inside of your windshield is what the intoxicating smell of pleather leaves behind.
I lick it.
It's residue from the fumes and the powder-like dust from the plastics used to make your car's interior.
Let me die 1,000 deaths from the smell of a brand new automobile with no miles on it.
And a new report says that with the windows up, the chemicals in the air in a new car can reach dangerously toxic levels.
Death by shiny new vehicle.
The chemicals are used to make plastic bend better and to make it fire resistant. The sun really brings out the fumes, so consumer groups recommend parking in the shade and leaving the windows cracked. At least use a windshield reflector.
That's a new Corvette! Let me just
follow
in
that with the coughing.
Smell.
Mm-hmm.
What is it again?
It's a new Corvette!
All right, so my question would be, what's the toxicity of that stuff they spray in your car at the car wash? It's called new car smell.
Well, that's just a perfume, but I have a hunch that it can't be much better for you. But I'd say that about any air freshener.
What is it again?
It's a new Corvette!
The late Rod Roddy. Consumer groups want car makers to stop using these particular chemicals in favor of less toxic ones. Maybe the new car smell of the future will be like wood chip.
It's a new Corvette!
Nothing smells like my new Prius.
I'll bet.
You can do it invisible, Priya.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Fantastic.
Doesn't it give off that electric...
I like to call it clear, Don. It's a clear. It's a clear finish.
Clear of the cream.
Doesn't it give off that electric train smell?
Yeah, I love it. It's fantastic.
Another worm virus set to go off on Friday may
You know Mike's a tree hugger. I don't know if he pointed that at
me. Oh, yeah.
He's an environmental wacko.
Please, you know, do you have to lay those nasty names on us, really?
I was just listening to Bill O'Reilly.
Tree hugger, environmental wacko. I like simply the term environmentalist.
It's a new Corvette!
Yes, that'll pollute the atmosphere. That big engine, that big V8. Not for me.
A big penis on wheels.
It's ridiculous. Seriously. Two-seater. At least get something, you know, with a big engine like that that can seat 10. That's the way I feel about it.
You tell him, Priya.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back...
You tell him, hybrid. And that'd be a great radio name. Hey, this is hybrid.
Hybrid.
Mm-hmm. I heat my house now with methane.
Mr. Methane.
Mr. Methane. I heat the whole house with methane.
Mm-hmm. Not crystal meth.
No, it's methane. Methane gas.
Better than what you used to use.
Well, it's much better for the environment.
Better than the hair dryer.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
it's a new Corvette!
Some idiot told me that wasn't that efficient. And there was a fire danger. And they shut off after a while.
They all do.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, NASCAR's newest product, the romance novel.
I like to die. Well, now I could read.
Hi, this is Michael Waltrip.
Right, be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating.
And
entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. The Chosen, Don and Mike.
You know, we didn't have time to make our fake calls to Punxsutawney Phil.
Oh, that's a shame. Can we do that tomorrow?
Yeah, we'll do it for real tomorrow with all the stupid screaming Groundhog Day stuff. Sonny and Cher playing over and over. Drunk Joe at the Stones concert.
Yeah.
We'll have those tapes for you tomorrow. Tomorrow, live from Detroit, the great John Madden will be calling the game on Super Bowl Sunday.
We won't be playing girl songs in back of him, will we?
No. I know. That'll be a little more respectful with that. With John.
Just a little.
With John Madden. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, our show, Donna Mike, website.com. We got the website where we've got something downloaded every day that people have figured out how you can get on your iPod.
Right.
Or you can just go to iTunes and subscribe to our show there. I urge you to do this now and subscribe now because somebody told me today that out of all the radio shows, again, we're up to fourth.
Yes,
I saw that. Out of like the hundreds of radio shows offering podcasts, and the company is a little squirrely about it.
Sure,
yeah, they're seeing the potential, and when they do that, it's no good can come out.
On one hand, you would think, oh, that's great, and they do to an extent. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, now they're looking at this, they're saying, and the figure that was thrown around to me was something like, whatever the station is that the company has that gets the most hits on the web since we started internet broadcasting, whatever it is, 1010 Winds in New York, the news station, whatever it is, we are, if not outperforming them, we are very close. We're like the second most, if not number one, the second most downloaded and listened to show on the internet. You're pointing at the clock. Why?
Because we're running very late.
There you go. Good boy. Good producer.
Thank you.
Good producer. The birthday girl would not have done that.
No.
So go to iTunes.com.
Yes.
And our show is there. And I'm urging you to get it now because they're going to try to squeeze some pennies out of you for it.
We got
to
run. In sports, NASCAR may have crossed a line with its decision to market romance novels. NASCAR struck a deal with Harlequin Romance Novels. In the Groove hits bookshelves in September to be followed by 17 other steamy novels. In the Groove features the adventures of driver Lance Cooper. When he looks at Sarah, he, quote, feels like he's been shocked by a loose spark plug line.
Hold on there, Buzz. Just hear the beginning of this.
Sure.
There you go. Thank you.
Quoting a NASCAR spokesperson, we're trying to reach out to our female fan base. A title like In the Groove ought to do it.
Yeah.
And finally, a prominent South Florida businessman has been busted for crack, having it and showing it. Police say they found 48-year-old Phil Bloomberg sitting in his car, smoking crack and not wearing pants.
Phil!
He was arrested on those charges and for trespassing and illegal dumping. Don't ask. He's been busted before, so now he's going to prison, maybe for 5 years.
Phil's dropping the kids off at the pool.
It's really sad for the former chairman of the Greater Miami Chamber of Commerce.
Ooh.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show. Sorry, we're out of time.
Thank you, Buzz. That's what we got to fly, everybody.
Ow.
We'll see you tomorrow. Hey there, Ziggy.
Yeah.
Good day to you.
Good day to you.
You went all the way to the Z's?
And you.
Yes.
Okay, Zed. Good day to you, sir.
Hey, Zed, get the gimp.
Hey, Zeus.
May I close with a song?
What?
May I close with a song?
Sure.
Tell her no.
Back around.
God damn.
Oh, man. All right. We're clear.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.